about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We need something massive and attention-getting, something that will grab people by the ears, yell at them through a bullhorn, and hit them like a bolt of lightning.
I got it. What is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone?
Gee, what can I say but gee?
And now, knock, knock, bang, boobies.
Our feature presentation.
Best joke ever. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 7th of April. What's happening? What's up, you guys? Thought I was going to be late today.
Why?
What happened?
Surprise, right? They had closed four lanes of the freeway closed so that they were doing construction overnight or something. Mm-hmm. They hadn't picked up the cones yet. So I was just sitting on the 101, stopped in park.
Right.
Just enjoying some nice music. Thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to make it. And then they cleaned it out pretty quickly and just started going again.
Kevin, you made it.
I made it.
Yay.
You must have left a little early.
I mean, I gave myself
that time.
Probably a 40-second cushion.
That's all we can ask for.
And that helped me.
Well, good for you.
Thank you, Bean.
It is a miracle how close Kevin is able to cut it and still be
And Bean does it always marvel at
this. It's a miracle. Well, how can you not? Because there's so many variables involved in getting ready in the morning.
Well, I didn't see that variable. I'll be honest with you on that one.
Yeah. That I mean, think happens. About, not being able to find your keys, for instance, you know, or hitting a couple of extra red lights or having to stop to buy gas. I mean, things that you encounter, you know, throughout the month, you know, one of those hits you and you're hosed in terms of getting to work on time.
I'm actually okay with getting gas. I get it during the day because I know that I only have a 40-second cushion the next morning.
Right. Well, it's very impressive. Well done.
Thank you.
I have a story to start with today that I think is interesting. Allie, I think you especially will appreciate this. How old were you, Allie, when you thought about a career in media? Because you were radio first and then television, and now when your looks faded back to radio. So how old were you when you started thinking about that as a career?
I think I never thought about it in college. So it was after I had graduated and taught for a year. And I was like, ooh, teaching. That's for people that like other kids and whatnot.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. I will not shape America's youth. So I would say 23, 24.
Wow. So even in college, you weren't on the radio station there?
No.
Or writing for the newspaper?
No.
Never thought about it.
It's for suckers.
So how did you arrive? I mean, once you realized teaching wasn't your thing, what made you think, oh, I'll go into radio?
Just
because you looked at radio and said, that's easy. Anybody could do that.
Well, I moved home and I took a tour of KCBS. One of my parents' friends was a photog down there. Took me on a tour. Then I got an internship there. Had to go back and take a class at college. Long story with that. Through all of that, and then I got a producing job. Then I got a radio job from John Ireland that is the Lakers play-by-play guy.
No kidding.
He's like, you know a lot about sports. Want to be on our show? I'm like, wow, look how easy this is. Yeah.
So it was a surprise to you. That's really
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
This story is about a young reporter named Hilda Lisiak. She is in the news quite a bit. What part of the country does she live in? I may come across that at some point in this article. She did a story recently. She writes something called the Orange Street News, which is a local newspaper in her town. Her dad is a former reporter for the New York Daily News, and her 12-year-old sister also is involved in the project. She handles video and photos. They have a website, too. Again, it's the Orange Street News. Oh, it's in 150 miles from Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. So she has been started out as just a little handwritten thing that they would copy and hand out to the neighbors, and has grown into an actual newspaper that is delivered in this community. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's in the news because she recently broke the story of a murder investigation. And she is 9. years old.
Really?
She's a nine-year-old reporter, and the reason the story has blown up is because many people are lashing out about her covering a story like that. They're telling her to stick to, you know, tea parties and dolls, and she is furious about this. She says, it kind of gets me angry because just because I'm nine doesn't mean I can't do a great story. It doesn't mean I can't be a reporter. So, you know, a lot of people are, you know, writing onto the Facebook page and saying it's just not, it's not appropriate for a nine-year-old to be interviewing people at an apartment complex about what they saw and what they know about somebody being murdered there. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
I agree to an extent on stories like that. I don't think a kid needs to be looking into those stories any further. But
in other words, if you were her parent, you would say, I approve of you being a journalist and writing this newspaper, but you need to stay away from things where bad things happen to
maybe
people?
Maybe for a couple years, let's stick to the pet adoptions and the bake sales for a couple years. But I would also say to the actual other reporters in that town, hey, a nine-year-old scooped you.
How about you step it up?
You
the rest
step
of you.
Up your game.
Yeah.
She put a video on her news site on Sunday, by the way, and read some of the comments aloud. And then I wanted to play a little bit of her reaction to those who are telling her what kinds of stories she should be doing. Now, I will warn you, she seems to be a competent journalist. I find her voice annoying, but okay. She's nine, and there's no worse sound in the world than little kids talking. But let's see, let's see what little Hilda says.
Ajak here, reporting from the Orange Street News. Yesterday, there was a murder in Sarasota.
Wait, I don't know why she needs to do this interview in the loudest spot in her home.
That is funny.
But she does have music going. So yesterday, she's talking about there's a murder in town.
It happened just a few blocks from my house. I got the tip from a good source that was able to confirm. Then I went straight to the scene and asked neighbors for more information. I worked very hard. Because of my work, I was able to inform the people that there's a terrible murder hours before my competition even got to the scene. In fact, some of these adult red newspapers were reporting the wrong news or no news at all.
Listen to her throwing down on the other news sources in town, by the way. All right, a little bit more.
All the while, the Orange Street News is out covering the murder. I know this makes some of you uncomfortable, and I know some of you just want me to sit down and be quiet because I'm nine.
But suck
but
it.
If you want me to stop covering news, then you get off your computer and do something about the news. Is that cute enough for you? I'm Hilda Kate Lisa. Thanks for watching.
There. Is that cute enough
How
for you?
About that?
Oh, my God. I love her so much.
That
and she loves
she
fits in the tantrum.
The
so,
yes.
I mean, she's
Listen
a good kid.
Good. Good taste.
So it'll be fun to see what she grows up to be. I think we have a hint of where her mind is.
It'll
her
be fun in a month when we realize she's the killer. Oh, and that's how she got the scoop.
Come on.
First on the scene, man.
She did say a very reliable source.
Right?
Uh-huh. Okay. All
her
right.
Her hand.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBede show, shall we?
I don't
love it.
Care.
You love it. You're excited about it. We have a brand new internet roundup today. We have a mystery break for you. We're going to do something
I don't like that.
Never done before.
At all.
Got a new feature.
Uh-huh.
Well, Bean, you love new features.
Bean. When you look, if there's a reason you won't say out loud what it is, and it's because it involves something bad.
Well, it involves a bad person.
Oh.
So that's the clue, I guess.
Okay.
It's about Bean.
Ah.
Yeah. Did you guys know that Doto's a security guard?
I did hear something about that, but I don't know any details. Like, does
I don't either.
He have a gun?
I don't either because I read it on his Twitter, and I think it was like 3 weeks ago or something, and I was like, how did we miss this? Hey, Kevin DeBede, I'm working security.
Wow.
Scary, right?
It's terrifying.
So we're going to talk to him. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Luke Rockhold and Uriah Faber talking about UFC 199. It's going to be a great bill. They're both going to be in studio. Very excited about that. We have Dr. Drew, and we also have John Cena in studio.
Dudes.
That's a pretty dudey show.
It's a manly show.
Very much so,
We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:56.
Free tickets to see The Offspring on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We also got Star Wars The Force Awakens Blu-ray combo packs. We got K-Rock Craft Brew Fest at Santa Anita this weekend to give away. We got the K-Rock Guys Night Out to give away. And, of course, Coachella tickets for everyone at 5 o'clock this afternoon, if you're the right caller. That includes the access to the K-Rock Coachella
for
house.
The one and a caller that's the correct caller.
A chance to win a brand new Jeep Renegade as well. Details at K-Rock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, everybody, it's Potter. Harry Potter. He's a wizard and he's wizarding near you.
So a lot of reporters from Universal on the news last night.
It's all Potter all the time now, baby. In about 15 minutes, boom, Potter.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. The first 250 people or so are lined up this morning to enter the wizarding world of Harry Potter, the new portion of the theme park up there at Universal Studios. And it's just beyond, right?
Okay.
Muggles. There's snuggles. There's
I'm not sure there's
sniggles. There's sniglets.
I'm not sure that's
there's
true.
The house of Verpador.
Nope.
And Homigan.
Have you seen or read any of this?
No, I never got really into the Harry Potter thing.
It's well done.
I'm sure it is.
You know me.
Kevin, do you actually read the books?
I love my books.
Kevin loves books.
I read a portion of each book.
Really?
Sure.
The back cover.
Right? When you put it back down and realized you weren't going to buy it because I don't read books.
I don't really finish books, but I have read some of them. They're very inventive, and the movies are really good.
I'm happy for everyone.
All right, I'm just saying.
Congratulations to all. It's magical, and it's a wonderful place, and there's toads and warlocks. I wish you all well.
If there's any warlocks.
There's plenty of warlocks. Yeah. Mayor Garcetti, by the way, was officially there. To welcome everyone. All the muggles and wizards, he said. I can't. LA's fine. We had no problems. I'm glad he's there opening freaking wizard world.
You're probably going to read those books, Ralph, I would imagine, when your daughter gets a little bit older. Isn't it kind of a rite of passage now for all kids to get into Harry Potter at some point?
Maybe she'll read them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, sad news. FYI Network has canceled Khloe Kardashian's talk show Cocktails with Khloe.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, sadly there will be no second season. It's shocking to me. Shocking that that show was canceled. Oh, wait a minute.
It's shocking that show existed.
Can we stop pretending that any of them have any talent to do anything so we can avoid these fruitless exercises?
Was it a talk show?
She would have guests over, and they would make cocktails and cook together, and she would interview them. And those bold enough, brave enough to actually watch it say, it made your eyes burn with the fire of a thousand suns.
Right.
Now, her mom tried a talk show. She tried to. Yeah. No one wants to hear them talk. They have nothing to offer. There's no talent. Stop. Stop making stupid people famous. In the words of the famous thing. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Francis Ford Coppola, he's 76 years old today. What a great director and a nice man. Remember when you guys sent me down there to interview him?
Yeah.
And I went by his house, and he was just ridiculous.
And I remember him telling you, even as Francis Ford Coppola, the man behind, you know, The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and so many other classic movies, that he would have trouble getting a movie made in Hollywood today.
Not only would... has. Can't get a movie made.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anything he does, he says he has to self-finance because no one will even meet with him, hear his pitches. No one's interested in the guy who...
Isn't that something?
He's got a body of work. He's got a few films under his belt that were pretty good.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. He makes a hell of a wine, by the way.
Oh, it does?
Oh, I love me that good little wine. 76 years old today. Jackie Chan is 61. And Russell Crowe is 51. Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got an early visit with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up next hour here on K-Rock, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and the international man of mystery himself, Doto, who's gone and gotten himself a job. Talk to him about that coming up. First, though, not that I have a lot of sympathy for anything that Justin Bieber goes through, because he pretty much brings trouble on himself.
Right.
But, you know, I took a lot of heat for my pigtails, and pigtails are the best because they're a party for your head.
Right. Hold on, though. You deserve that. You asked for it.
How dare you?
You actually begged for it. Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber, though, was on the iHeartRadio television show, a little concert award show that was on over the weekend. And he is being blasted right now because he showed up wearing dreadlocks. And there are a lot of people, particularly online, who say, hey, you're a white dude. You shouldn't have dreadlocks. You're culturally appropriating my hair, is what he's hearing from some people. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I do want to know how Justin Bieber feels about that, and that's why we're happy to have the Biebs back on the phone. Hey, Justin, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yo, 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 yo. Yo, yo to the max, crazy town, yo.
Right. What are you listening to there, Justin?
Some Bob Marley, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now, you're surprise? Jamaican now? Your accent sounds different.
Yeah, I'm Jamaican now. I've always been... I'm black.
But you're
wait.
You're very white.
Yeah, you're actually.
You're so white, you're Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Okay.
Pass
stop
talking. Touchy on the left hand side.
All right. Stop talking like that and just tell us how you decided to show up on TV the other night with dreadlocks.
What's with all the questions, bro?
Well, that's why we wanted to talk to you. We wanted to get your side of the story as to why you thought dreadlocks would be a good idea.
Because it's part of my heritage, man.
See, that's the thing. It's not part of your heritage.
I like to smoke pot, man.
Okay, you might like to smoke pot, but it's not part of your heritage. You are white and privileged and Canadian.
You don't know that, man.
I think
I do know that,
man.
You know it, man. I am, first of all, black.
You're not black.
I am. And I grew up in Compton.
You didn't?
You grew up in Canada.
You're in Canada, pretty...
Toronto is like the Compton of Canada, eh?
I don't think so. It's their biggest and most metropolitan city.
Right. It's full of pimps.
It's not, though.
And crack pimps. Pimp crack.
Yeah.
So this represents all of my hardship, man.
All your hardship, which is what?
It's hard being me, man.
Right. Well, you got that record deal at 15 because Usher found you on YouTube. That's your paying your dues.
Yes, but the first 15 years were hell.
Right.
I was out on the street slinging rock.
Yeah.
Slinging the rock.
You weren't. You were
rocking
playing
a sling.
You weren't doing either of those things.
He might have had a sling.
I broke
with
my
rock.
Arm once. I was rocking a sling at one point.
Okay. All right, that's possible. So, Justin, what about the people who say just don't wear dreadlocks? First of all, you look ridiculous, and second of all,
although you are pulling off the accent, so that's good.
Thank you, man.
And second of all, you're just offending a bunch of people. So why not just cut them?
Because this is part of my identity.
It's not.
It's also part of my religion because I am Fosterarian.
That's Rastafarian.
Rastafarian. Okay.
Stop hitting the horn.
Come on, man. Let's go down to the beach and eat some conch chowder.
Okay. Just stop this. Do something else.
Hey.
Don't do this.
Wait, let him talk.
Let's go get some shells for the tourists, eh?
What are you even talking about? Justin? Do you know what you're talking about?
I'm on a glass-bottom boat, eh? I can see the water.
Okay. Congratulations.
You want some smoke, man? Smoke, 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 smoke.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You want some shells?
Bye now.
I'm not cutting them off. I can listen to this whole day.
Hey,
all right, we'll see you later, Justin.
I be drinking the rum, man.
Rum?
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Eh?
Not a pirate.
You're not a pirate. You're not a pirate.
Oh, a pirate. That'd be cool. I'm going to be a pirate tomorrow.
Okay, good luck with that.
I'm not pleased with the glee that I am seeing in the room for this next segment because it can only mean that you want to humiliate your old friend Bean.
No, we're going to let you humiliate yourself.
Okay.
Everybody has strengths. Everybody has
weaknesses. Allie, do you know what this is about? Are you in on this?
I don't. I'm excited, though.
So we're going to be finding out
together. Should be excited.
Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. Being strength is not giving examples.
Okay.
What? Bean He's is. The best at that.
And we've been categorizing them. Chip's Come been on. Storing them up so that
he
we
has
can do.
His finger on the pulse of what the people relate to, Kevin.
Mr. Bad Example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Okay. Now look, I don't know what the clips are, but I will tell you, just in my defense, that why are you laughing?
You can't start with your defense. Let me play a clip.
In my defense, we do 5 hours of live radio every day, and we talk a lot about a lot of things extemporaneously.
Right.
And
Less
sometimes,
for you right now, it's nothing to do with this.
I have a lot of you on tape. We don't need you live right now.
Okay,
sit down. Here we go.
Because lots of people, there are lots of videos on YouTube of people pulling out their kids' teeth with doors, with cars, with guns, with everything. I think that's kind of an interesting and fun way to go.
I'd like to see the video of the family that's pulling out their kid's tooth with a gun.
With a gun. How do we do that? How does that work?
Please send me the link to the shooting the tooth out with a gun video.
I'm just saying there are lots of different ways that people are doing it. I thought it was interesting.
Is with a gun one of them?
I
you made up with a gun, though.
That was one of your prime examples. I would like to have some confirmation on pulling out the loose tooth with the gun video.
I'm for sure about the door and the car.
But the gun.
I'm not 100%
You gave three examples. One of them was a gun.
One of them was false. So what kind of phone job are we going to have where one out of three of your examples is already crap?
Oh. He's Mr. Bad Example.
All right. Now we're giving Allie a hard time about Tom Brady. And Bean just wants to play along.
Right.
Okay.
Ralph is making some jokes about how Tom Brady always cheats. And then Bean jumps in and tries to help.
He's doing so much cheating now, he doesn't even have time to play football.
That's right. He's busy pulling aces out of his sleeves in poker games and, you know, running around behind Giselle's back. And
putting slugs in parking meters instead of coins.
That's right.
putting slugs in parking meters.
Oh, that old cheat.
That may not be at the level of cheating on Giselle.
Prank, first of all,
that's what you do when you're trying to.
But he's Ralph saying cheating, stealing people's money and cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. And you come back with slugs,
getting people extra time in their parking space. That powerful cheat.
Hey, that's ripping off the government, man.
All right, Allie is doing showbiz on this next clip, talking about Rivers Cuomo from Weezer and how we were a little concerned about what was going on in his life.
Rivers,
check in on the boy.
If you're listening, we just want to know if you're okay.
And I'll swing by with a pot pie or something, if that'll help, you know, just to make sure he's eating.
You're insane.
A pot pie.
A pot pie. Really? That's what you're swinging by with?
You always give terrible examples.
Oh, now people don't love pot pies. What world are we living in where people don't love pot pies?
Amish?
It's not that people don't love pot pies. It's that that's the one
that's the
singular example that you gave.
That would make Rivers the happiest if I showed up with a pot pie. That's
this
all.
Week we were talking about virtual reality and Bean. Once again, is Mr. Bad Example.
I know very little about virtual reality, Scott. Is it like with a video game console where you go out and you pick which experience you want? So you can have the I'm surfing in Hawaii if you want, or you can have the I'm the Queen of England if you want.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
One of the two examples is the Queen of England.
The two most popular scenarios requested in virtual reality, Kevin. You know that. Those people want to surf. And they want to pretend they're the Queen of England. The action-packed life of the Queen of England, where you can actually see a corgi at your feet as you sit in a tall chair. That can only be brought to life with virtual reality.
This next, Mr. Bad Example, we were talking to Tyler Labine about his beard. And Bean came up with a reason why someone would have a beard.
What do you like about having a beard? Are we hiding a fat face, or what are we doing with the beard?
Oh, absolutely.
Because some people just think, hey, look how cool I look like Abraham Lincoln if I've got a beard. You know, some people think that that's what they're
doing. And I rocked a chin strap for a long time.
Who thinks, hey, I look like Abraham Lincoln?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
That's the one example he comes up with. You're excited about your beard because you look like Abraham Lincoln.
Finally, I look like the 15th president.
16th. But you can look smart, and you can look professional, and you can look wise.
Who is trying to look like Abraham Lincoln?
I'm just saying as an example,
that's
I would think.
That's a terrible example.
Think of 100 people not a good example.
Who have famous beards before you get to Lincoln.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
All right. This week, we were talking about the dude that created the robot that looked like Scarlett Johansson.
Right. And this is fantastic.
It was really difficult. He had to teach himself electromechanics and programming along the way and learn how to fit the robot's external skin over its components. Why aren't you guys impressed? Why does it have to be dirty?
Well, that's the reason you're bringing it up.
No, it's not at all.
100% the reason you're bringing it up.
Absolutely not. I would 100%. I would be doing this story if they built a robot that looked like... I don't know why the first celebrity name of
these are always the best. Go ahead.
Any other celebrity in the world. If he built a robot that looked like Flip Wilson, I would have said the same thing. I don't know why I would have thought of late comedian Flip Wilson.
We know why. We know why.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Because you're Mr. Bad Example. That's why.
Okay.
And finally,
I don't know why that was the poll. I really don't.
Because you're Mr. Bad Example.
That's
you're
why.
Not listening.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You're awful at this.
And finally, I believe this is the one that got it started. When I looked at Chip and I said, let's start saving these because the example that Bean gives, I think we were doing a call-in topic about you ruined something expensive.
Yeah, you destroyed your property,
correct.
Your expensive property.
Yeah. And this is the one that started it all.
Because you know that there are people who have bought elaborate crystal sets or whatever and dropped them down an elevator shaft. I don't know why. I just thought of those two things
together. Wait. Time out. What happened to that guy again?
He bought a very expensive set of crystal,
right? And then what happened with the crystal?
He dropped it down an elevator shaft and shattered it all.
That happens so often.
How would you ever think of that example? What? How?
Who's buying crystal sets, first of all?
Zero people.
Unless you're Downton Abbey.
Right.
And then why are they're just random elevator shafts hanging around for you to drop your crystal down? That's a bad department store.
I can't imagine.
He's Mr. Bad Example. His name is Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
All I want to know is, where's my man Doto? Doto! Where you at, man? Come on, Doto. Where are you at today?
We had the same...
What would you need him for?
We had the same question, so we asked Dave to track down Doto, and he has a job... working security.
Mm-hmm.
How secure do you think that business feels with Doto?
Let's get a little more fact.
Okay. We're going to talk to Doto.
Probably the best security guard that has ever existed. That's my guess.
We're going to talk to the International Man of Mystery just after 7 o'clock. That is coming up. First, though, Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning.
Before I get to show business news, it's Guys Night Out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Guys Night Out. This is the big poker event held at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You get to play poker and drink and hang out with guys like Kevin, Dave the King of Mexico. But right now, I want to give away a spot to play poker with a pretty spectacular poker player in his own right. Johnny Poker. Johnny Poker's here, everybody. Johnny Poker. Hey, Johnny Poker.
How you guys doing? I don't know how Johnny Poker would sound, so I'm just going to do my normal voice.
All right. Right.
I can guarantee you Johnny Poker does not sound like you.
It's beer mug. Beer mug. We're giving away a spot at your table.
Spot at my table tomorrow night at the Bike Guys Night Out. It's a great event. Contrary to popular belief, I am a great poker player.
Right. That's what we've been saying.
I'm a great poker player. And you will not take all my money.
Right.
Only some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will walk away a winner.
Ralph, is it your idea to bring him in and have him sell this?
It was. Yes.
Okay. Well. Yeah. You want to rethink that?
I do.
No. I think I'm doing a great job.
You also get $200 worth of chips to kick things off. So it's a great event tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at thebike.com. You can go to thebike.com for more details and to RSVP your spot if you don't win. But if you'd like to play with Beer Mug, and if that's true, why? I don't understand. Who wants to pay?
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, that's right.
Wrong.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. You got to be 21 years of age or older, so call her 21. Call her 21. You'll be playing poker with Beer Mug tomorrow night. Thanks, Beer Mug. Thanks.
Maybe Johnny Chicago will be down there, too.
Okay, Johnny. You get out. Chicago. All right. Thanks so much. You know, we're also giving away today Star Wars The Force Awakens Blu-ray combo pack.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Star Wars The Force Awakens available on Blu-ray. And just to be like, oh, that's so great. I get Star Wars on Blu-ray. I get that. Oh, what else? What else you get today?
Yeah! Hot lunch on the Mole! What's going on? Hot lunch on the Mole! I'm going to have some fun.
Hot fudge. Holy moly. It's the teaser trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars
yeah!
Story.
Oh,
you like Star
so
Wars? You like Star Wars? Boom. Here's a Blu-ray. Boom. In December, new Star Wars movie. Every day, Star Wars. You get it. Boom. Everybody gets one. You get a Star Wars. You get a Star Wars. We're living in a golden age of Star Wars.
I remember the burnout that we had for the last Star Wars because they started promoting it so much and they put out so many trailers. But I watched this one this morning. It looks great. I can't wait.
Coming out on December 16th of this year. It is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story is the official title. And it is a prequel of sorts. This is the story of the group of rebels who were able to get the plans for the Death Star that they used to defeat that Death Star in A New Hope, in the original Star Wars film in 1977. Great idea for a film. Just a bunch of rebels kicking ass and taking names. Starring Felicity Jones as Jyn Erso. She is the hero of the piece. And I'll tell you, Star Wars sure has cornered the market on smoking hot British girls with just slight overbites. Man, that's my John right there. And they're just serving me up, just heaping helping after heaping helping. She looks terrific in this film. As we mentioned, the teaser trailer broke this morning. They originally played it for the first time on Good Morning America over there on ABC. Now it's available online to take a look at. But here's a little tease from the teaser trailer, a little of the backstory of Felicity Jones as Jyn Erso.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15, reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
Boom! Right. She rebels.
So, you said it's golden age of Star Wars. Are we going to be... This is the beginning of a Star Wars movie pretty much every year, right?
Every year.
I hope so.
2 years at the most, as long as you'll have to wait for a new Star Wars product.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
This looks really good.
The trailer
for all
looks
those
amazing.
People who were terrified when Disney bought Lucasfilm, by the way. So far, so good.
Yeah. I think we're in good hands. The great thing about this film is it's a complete throwback. All of the tech and all the costumes and all the set pieces, it all looks like you're watching Star Wars A New Hope. It's because it's from that era, so you get old school Star Wars. There's AT-ATs in this.
Yeah.
AT-ATs.
The walkers.
The big, like, oh, those big mechanical giant walking tank kind of deals.
Did that help?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
officially?
That was good.
Okay.
Yeah,
you looked just like it.
You looked like a crab. So that's good news.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And speaking of geekdom and nerddom, Walking Dead fans furious about the cliffhanger on Sunday night.
Why?
Furious, Kevin.
I loved it.
Furious.
Because it might be Carl.
I have that hope. Viewers are demanding to know who Negan hit with the bat.
Well, then they should watch the premiere of Season 7
No,
later this
no,
year.
Bean. They will not wait. They're demanding answers from AMC. They want an interim episode or an R-rated webisode, according to this petition on Change.com, that shows us the death. 2,300 signatures, people signed up, who are demanding to know exactly what happened. Shut up, people.
Agreed.
It's a TV show. They do what they want to do, and you watch it. You don't sit
down.
It's not story on demand.
Let's start a petition.
There's a little fascist aspect of nerddom that's creeping into the world with social media and stuff, where everybody demands stuff and do it. This is what I want. Just let them do their thing, and you watch or don't watch. In the words of the great Donald Trump,
sit down.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Francis Ford Coppola is 76 years old today. Actor Jackie Chan turned 61. And host of Saturday Night Live this weekend, Russell Crowe, celebrates his 51st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of testosterone on the program today, you guys. It's a very manly Kevin and Bean show on deck for you. Still to come, John Cena joins us next hour here, WWE champion. Also, Luke Rockhold and Uriah Faber from the UFC are going to be here. Dr. Drew Pinsky later this hour. And the manliest man of all on the phone with us right now. Hit it, Steve.
I need some babes.
Kevin and Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin and Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called her?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man. I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America. Woo!
And now the further adventures of Dodo, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
One of our all-time favorite listeners, Doe Toe, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Doe.
Hey, Kevin Bean. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How's it going with you?
Good. Hey, man, last week when I was at Pasadena working in security, I thought I was going to see Dr. Drew, Kevin Bean.
Okay, let's slow your roll a bit. Pump the brakes. So I checked your Twitter feed, and 28 days ago, you tweeted, I work security now.
Yeah, I do. I'm just going to be honest with you.
So you're a security guard now.
But not in a uniform, but more in a suit and tie, Kevin Bean.
In a suit and tie.
Oh, like fancy. Suit and tie.
Like private security?
Yeah, look. Last week I worked at Pasadena Civic Center where I was working at the America's Got Talent for about 12 hours, Kevin Bean.
America's Got Talent. So you were working at that, and you thought because you were in Pasadena that you would run into Dr. Drew?
Yeah, because I thought we all know that's his hometown, like Kevin Bean. And plus, it's a very small city. Everyone knows each other, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't see him, actually, if you were in Pasadena all day. That's weird.
Because I thought that he was going to be at the America's Got Talent.
Right.
I thought you were going to be there, Bean.
I don't know why you would think that. I don't have talent, Doe.
Kevin, can I ask you a quick question, Kevin?
Yes, Doe.
I told you I was working for this security company, and you know, I do pretty much a lot of different events. Sometimes I do quite a few times these last couple months. I was working and doing security at the Anaheim Convention, Kevin.
Okay, Anaheim Convention Center. Yes.
And also last Friday, I also did security at the Honda Center.
Okay. Right, but you made it sound like you were going to ask Kevin a question.
I don't feel like there's a question in there.
No, I'm just making a statement, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll accept it.
So, Doe, help me understand what you do. So you're not in uniform. What are your duties? Do you tell people where they can stand and not stand? Do you check to see that people aren't bringing in weapons or drugs to events? What do you do?
That's why I want to tell you this stuff, Bean.
Okay.
Sometimes I do bag checking to see that anybody has a gun or a knife or a weapon.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And people have those type of stuff, then they're banned from coming to the event.
So when people come to an event and they walk up to those little turnstiles, you're one of the people that says, I need to check inside your bag.
By law, I can't open up the bags. I mean, by law, they just have to maybe take something off from the bags and just put it in a tray, and then if there's no weapons, then they're clear to go, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Why did you decide to get a security job, Doto? Is this something you had been interested in before?
It's something I thought about before.
Okay. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, not too bad.
And then sometimes I also have
to warn people at the end. You don't want me wanting, you know, with the computer stuff.
Did you say you wand people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. How about the ladies, Doe? You know, you're a very sexy bachelor. What about all the women that you're meeting in this job? Have you gotten any phone numbers?
You know, one of them gave me the number and they kind of put it in my pocket.
Oh.
How about that?
Come on.
And,
did you call it?
You know, I didn't get a chance to, Kevin Bean.
When did that happen?
Maybe a couple weeks ago.
Happened to the Korean lady?
Hold, please. So you didn't have time in the last 2 weeks to make that call?
No.
Okay.
You're very busy.
Allie, ask your question again.
What happened to the Korean lady?
Weren't you getting married?
No, the Korean lady. Korean. She's out of the country, Kevin Bean, for a while.
Okay, but that doesn't mean you date other people unless you have that understanding. Have you guys talked about it? Like, we're going to date other people? Like, if they put their number in my pocket, I can call them?
No, not exactly.
Okay.
Oh.
So not exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Well, look, maybe that's why Doe hasn't called, is because he feels like he's got a relationship with the Korean lady. He doesn't want to cheat. He didn't want to step out on his lady, maybe.
And can I ask you one quick question, Bean?
Certainly.
Bean, have you ever heard of TSA, like working in the federal government, like security? Is it going to be any easier or harder than what I'm doing, Kevin Bean?
Have I ever heard of the TSA? Yes, Doe, I have. And yeah, I think there would be quite a bit more training involved, and the stakes are much higher if you're working a TSA job than if you're working at America's Got Talent.
But in a TSA, but the basics should still be the same, right, Kevin Bean?
Yes, they'd pretty much be the same basics. Yes,
the basics would be the same. Yes. Why are you thinking of upgrading to a TSA job?
You should jump right over that and go right to the Secret Service.
Maybe. Yeah, but I thought the Secret Service, they pay big bucks, right?
They do. Yes, they do pay quite well.
Yes. All right, listen, Doe, we're almost out of time, but I have to ask, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to phrase this, because I don't mean to hurt your feelings or to discourage you.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've taken this job with a security firm, does this mean that you no longer are interested in making it in the entertainment industry?
You know what? I knew the heck you're going to ask that, Kevin Bean. That's why I wanted to kind of explain myself.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
The good point about the security job is that I can pretty much pick my own hours. I can pretty much work whenever I want. It's not like I'm locked into a 60-hour job. You know, Kevin Bean.
Right.
Okay. So you can take days off if you need to.
Yes.
So you're still into showbiz. You still want to make it in showbiz.
Yes. Yes, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Okay. And do you feel like you're doing anything to accomplish that goal of making it in the entertainment industry, Doto?
You know what, Kevin Bean? I haven't done very much, but I need to get back to it if I want to get serious, Kevin Bean.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I think so.
You should do something in that field if you'd like to be in that field.
Don't let go of your dreams, Doto. What I'm saying is it's very easy to take a non-show business job and give up on your dreams, but I don't want to see that happen to you because you're a tremendous talent.
Yeah, I know that. I know, Bean.
Now, is it true you're working the Angels game tonight?
Yes.
I think if our listeners come, can they take pictures with you? Are they allowed to? Or do you have to throw them down and arrest them?
No, no. Good question. Yeah,
we'll find out.
All right. I'm sure you can find out, Kevin Bean.
Okay, great.
Okay, we thought you might know since it's your job. But listen, if anyone's going to the – what time's the Angels game tonight, Doto?
Pretty much between 2 to 6.
2 to 6.
Oh, so it's an afternoon game. Okay.
Because I guess I work in the afternoon shift. Some people work in the night shift.
I would double-check game
time. Yeah, I think so, too. Double-check before you head to the city. All right, if you see Doto, definitely take a picture with him today and post it for us, okay? Because we definitely want to see it. It's a 7:05 game, I'm being told.
Yeah.
7:05 tonight.
So you work, 2 to 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're going to help them a lot then, Doe. All right, well, listen, we're glad to catch up with you. Congratulations on the new job. I hope you like it.
How about Secret Service, Kevin Bean? Is that something to consider?
Absolutely.
Do it.
Oh, well, I thought those guys have a military background, Kevin. I thought those guys are the elite of this.
You've got America's Got Talent background, though. You're just as qualified as the military guys.
Do it.
You should do it, Bean.
Okay.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Hey, producer David King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Happy Harry Potter Day.
Right.
How was that? You went to the world of wizarding already. Was it fun?
Oh, it was amazing. I'm not even a giant fan either.
I thought you were.
No, my girlfriend is.
Okay.
She's the uber super duper fan, and I'm just the dumb muggle.
Yeah.
And my God, that land is amazing.
Really?
I was very impressed with it. And the ride is awesome!
Did it take the sting out of them tearing down the Gibson Amphitheater to build that thing there?
I would have knocked it down earlier.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, hi, Marks. Hey, do you know, and I know this isn't why you're here, we're getting ready to do a brand new roundup, but do you know how tough it's going to be for people who want to go? Do they sell tickets in advance and it's sold out for weeks, or can anyone just show up to the parking gate?
What do you know about that? They sold out online, I think, for the rest of the week, but they're going to allow walk-ups. So they're going to have some.
Okay, those two sentences seem to be in conflict with each other.
No, yes, not at all. No. So they're limiting the tickets. So there's a couple of walk-up tickets. You could walk up to the box office, you know, maybe really early and go get some tickets.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Dave, I'm glad you're here because a great batch of videos this week, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
It's the Internet Roundup.
First video, Kevin, I thought of you because you strike me as a guy who loves screwing with his kids, and that's exactly what this guy does. His son is trying to turn on the vacuum cleaner, but his son doesn't realize that the cord that's coming out of the back of the vacuum cleaner is just a plug. All he has to do is put it in the wall, and then he gets electricity.
I did love this, Dad.
This is so something you would do.
Yeah.
He thinks it's like a lawnmower where you've got to pull a cord to get the engine to start. And the dad is going to let him pull that cord like 20 times in a row before he finally gives him a tip on how a vacuum cleaner works.
Give it one really, really good pull. It's on it, mate. Is it nearly there?
No.
No? Then do us a favor. Try and put it in the wall and see if it starts in the wall, then. Connor, it's not a motorbike. Press the button. 1, 2, 3. We have left off.
His kid, by the way. It's an understandable mistake to make, but his kid just didn't seem very bright to me in general.
Wasn't
surprised at all, yeah.
That plugging it in the wall was not... the whole thing is weird.
It's very funny, though. This is a great video. Tens of millions of hits already for Kevin Hart. A woman came up to him and thought he was Chris Rock. And Kevin Hart did the right thing in this video by just going with it.
Yes, yeah, what do you say again?
Chris Rock?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
You too.
Make sure you come to my show tonight.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's called Rock the World.
See, that's not Chris Rock at all. It's Kevin Hart. But once again,
has that
ever
happened to you guys?
What?
Were you mistake like
for Chris
someone?
Rock?
No, I'm just saying like anyone, like a celebrity or something where you just got the wrong person.
No.
You remember her intern? Where she met Damian Marley and she called him Bob Marley?
Oh yeah. Yes. Aww. Yeah, I do remember that.
Sweet. Well, there are a lot of reasons why she shouldn't have made that mistake. This is great, too. This is someone's car alarm that's been going on for so long, if I understand how car alarms work correctly, that the battery is wearing out, is dying down, and the car alarm sound is getting droopier. But somebody fell in love with it and dropped a beat on it and made a pretty great tape out of it, a mix track out of it. Listen to this. Seriously, someone send that to Drake, man. Let's make a song out of that. That's awesome.
That car is playing the Sahara tent. Coachella. The Gobi.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The Gobi.
This past Saturday night was Kevin Bean's April Foolishness that we did at the Shrine. Thanks again to everybody who bought tickets, and thanks to all the comedians who made it such a memorable night. We raised a lot of money for charity. Our friend Mike Realm, who has opened this show for us live the last couple of years, was not able to make it this year, but he sent along an awesome mashup video. How would you describe this, Kevin? It's just 10 minutes of fail, right?
Yeah, it's just all fail.
It's all fail, which is why it's perfect for our show, and this clip will not do it justice, but this give you a little bit of an idea of what it sounds like. He's taken so many of the funniest videos from the past year and just mashed them all up as only Mike Realm can do. It is great. All right, I promised for Star Wars fans, this is a great roundup for you. Somebody has edited together clips from all 7 Star Wars movies and made it as if it were a trailer for one called the Star Wars Ultimate Franchise Trailer. You'll love this.
Before the dark times, a young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
Anakin! You are the chosen one!
7 movies in one in
it's
that trailer.
It's well done.
Very well done. Here's somebody who had an interesting idea. They said, what if it was Kill Bill's Uma Thurman who was taking the Jedi training instead? What if we put a lightsaber in her hands during all those scenes from the Kill Bill movies where she's learning Kung Fu? What if Star Wars were directed by Quentin Tarantino? It might look and sound a little something like this.
Welcome to
Also very cool, by the way. I don't know why somebody decided to recut the Star Wars The Force Awakens movie and turning it into an episode of Friends, but that's what happened here.
Sure you're up for this?
Hell no. I'm going in to try to find Rey. The troopers will be on our tail. We have to be ready for that. Oh, there's an access tunnel that leads... Why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? I'm trying to come up with a plan.
Why?
I'm so tired of all things Friends.
Because it's Friends, guys.
Yeah.
It is Friends.
Yes, it
is.
Friends!
It's
Friends,
but
all right.
Star Wars... How many of us have them?
Right.
Does Star Wars need to be Friends,
no.
though, Dave?
Yes.
John Boyega and Daisy Ridley from the Force Awakens movie were doing an interview where they talked about a rap that they came up with on the set while they were filming the movie. It's very funny. So John is doing the beatboxing here, and Daisy, yes, is doing the rapping about Star Wars. This is one of the bonus features that you can get on the Blu-ray that's out of Star Wars Force Awakens. It's pretty cool.
We all up in the desert and we're filming Star Wars. Because of our diet, we can't eat no Mars bars. Because of the explosion, JP crawling on our floors. Because of all the heat, we can really make some s'mores in the desert.
What?
In the desert. What? In the desert. What? In the desert.
I love them so much together. I want them to be a couple in real life, by the way.
I love her so much, too. And by the way, when you watch that, don't you just go, they are having so much fun making that Star Wars movie.
I was thinking, do they boned?
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And finally, Honest Trailers is back now that Star Wars The Force Awakens is out, available on DVD and Blu-ray and digital download. This was kind of interesting because the guy who does the voice for Honest Trailers now, that we all know, well, they also brought back the first guy who used to do Honest Trailers, who, you know, has done the original Star Wars movies, and they kind of have a little bit of a battle about which series is better, and it's pretty cool the way they handle it.
Rey, an orphan scavenger who's so poor, she has to make her own Star Wars action figures. She's a multilingual expert mechanic slash ace pilot slash force using badass.
Who's so good at everything, it makes her character completely uncompelling.
How dare you?
I mean, come on. How is she so good at everything?
Because, you know, she has the Force, and it's awakening. And the Force makes you awesome.
That's not how the Force works.
Shut up, Han Solo. God.
It's a really good video. You can see all these and so much more. Just go to KROQ.com or KevinAmin.com. It's this week's Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Oh! Once I was 7 years old.
Hey!
It's not a hey. Not everything's a hey, Chip.
I think there has to be, like, some energy.
Hey, right.
I feel
That's
like.
The point of hey, yeah. is it's just it's a capper on an already explosive moment.
Right.
You're just breaking the mood there. Hey, we'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. And then John Cena will be here. He's a whole lot of man right there, isn't he? That John
yes,
Cena.
He is.
Wow. He's something else. I'm gonna have to fight you for him, Allie, because
he's driving back home.
You think so?
Yeah.
Not going there.
Kevin, you remember about 5 years ago when Dr. Drupinski got that HLN show?
Yes.
And you said, dude, that dude should be on the radio. You don't put that face on TV. Remember you predicted at that time that he wouldn't last 2 months. Remember?
I don't remember that. No.
I remember you saying that very specifically.
I'm as attracted to Drew as everyone is.
Dr. Drew last Monday celebrated his 5-year anniversary of doing a nationwide show on HLN, and we welcome him to the Kevin Amin Show with congratulations. Hey, Doc.
It's very kind of you guys. I was just thinking, I haven't spoken to Kevin since we last met on the ice at Staples Center.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
Yeah, you want to hear a weird story about that, Dr. Drew? I was sitting in the front row videotaping you.
Yeah.
And then I just stayed there because the people didn't come. So the game started, and a guy came and sat next to me, and he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "I work at K-Rock." And he goes, "Oh, do you know Dr. Drew?"
Oh.
Right after you sung the national anthem.
Weird.
It was one of the weirdest things in the world.
So did you just sit in that guy's seat for the whole game,
yes,
Kevin, because it was
no.
better than your seat? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, for the first whole first period. And then they came, and I was like, hey, okay, bye.
But how That's weird was fun. It that we, like, ran into each other in the middle of the damn Staples
Just
Center?
Ran into Dr. Drew goes, what are you doing?
Well, Drew, 5 years. How's it feel? What's it like doing 5 years of television?
It doesn't feel like 5 years. How's that for a nice platitude? But, however, we did a 5-year anniversary show on Monday, and I didn't know it was coming. It just all of a sudden they were like, hey, surprise, 5-year anniversary show. And so it was sort of a clip show, and I was really surprised how much territory we had covered. I'd forgotten about 90% of what we had done.
Yeah.
And it's a show that's been through many incarnations, and it's a good show, and we look back on it. I'm really happy with some of the stuff we did, but some of the stuff we got into was pretty goofy.
Like what?
Well, there was the woman with the biggest breasts in the world. I mean, we got into kind of daytime-y
fair. I had a great time on that show, Drew. Thank you.
I appreciate you coming in. It was wonderful. Yeah. But do you remember that picture of me with the watermelons on my chest that sort of became viral? That was that.
Sure, there was that.
I was trying to make a point. I had forgotten, too. And I was so proud. I was trying to make a point about, you know, sleep apnea and how the pressure on the chest, and that's the watermelons. And Honey Boo Boo, remember I interviewed her and she fell asleep?
Oh, sure. Yes.
That's right.
She fell asleep on me in the middle of the interview. Yeah. Very proud. And went through some of the trials. Between Jodi Arias and Casey Anthony, you forget that Zimmerman was a very important
piece of these histories.
And
who's your worst guest in those 5 years?
Oh, there were so many.
I know. Worst.
Oh, my God.
Mike Catherwood?
Oh, of course. But that's almost unfair. He's like the center square. You know what I mean? I remember before we found Honey Boo Boo, I did a Toddlers and Tiaras interview that was like, ugh. And you know what's other interesting? We did not revisit some of the shows we did about 50 Shades of Grey, which we had done.
Right.
Mostly because they bombed. And since then, I found out some interesting statistics about people that watch shows like ours and Oz. Oz did this extensive research, and it showed that most of the, you know, we have a lot of female viewers, and most of them are sort of middle-aged or older, and they don't want to talk about sex, turns out. Not only that, they don't want to know that anybody's having sex, especially not that they're enjoying it, because they aren't, and they're pissed. And so that's a topic, interestingly, after having done Loveline for all these years and spoken to young people where people are sort of really want to talk about
it. That's all about sex.
Yeah, people really want to talk about that topic. Turns out on the other end of the life cycle, not so much.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, there have been a couple of clips that come to mind of guests that you almost had. It wasn't quite a Jerry situation, but I felt like you almost had to separate them to stop them from getting into it physically on the show. Do you remember any incidences like that?
Well, of course. There was relatively recently was Zoe Tour, who was the helicopter pilot. If you remember this, he at that point was a helicopter reporter who had done the white Bronco chase.
Right.
Not only was he the reporter chasing the Bronco in the helicopter, he also was over the L.A. riots during the guy that got hit over the head.
Reginald Denny.
Reginald Denny, the Rodney King riots, yeah.
And now it's Zoe Tur, transgender female, and she's a very bright, smart, excellent guest, by the way. But she got into it, and I'm blanking on the guy's name. He's a very arch conservative.
It was Ben Shapiro, wasn't it?
Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro kept calling her him or sir, and finally she leaned over and unfortunately, hooked her hand around the back of his neck as opposed to just putting her hand on his shoulder and said, look, you do that again, you're going to leave here in an ambulance. Okay, so all right. Yeah,
and by the way, Shapiro wasn't doing it because it was an honest mistake. Because he was having trouble.
Dick.
Yeah, he was doing it on purpose to egg her on, right?
Oh, he was like, sir, you need to listen. And she was like, hey, come on, that's offensive. Okay, sir, I understand. It was it was awful.
What kinds of topics, Drew, do you get the most reaction from viewers in terms of either calling in or emailing the show or contacting you about it?
Probably, the trials, you know, a woman behaving badly, particularly as a baby involved, then you get lots of traction. But the other thing is race. Anything about race really gets people going. And one of my favorite guests was Miss Ali. Do you remember Miss Ali? She'd wear the crowns.
I don't remember her.
Come on now. How could you forget Miss Ali? She'd wear these tall crowns, sort of like what Nefertiti would wear.
Okay.
And
it's a good reference for me.
Oh, my God.
You're talking where Kevin lives now. Sorry.
An Egyptian queen crown. Like, and she had a different crown every time she was on. I mean, she's a closet filled with crowns. Anyway, she would take these sort of extreme positions from the position that sort of everything was racially motivated and you don't understand the position of being black in America. And she would say these, I mean, incredibly harsh things. And I I loved her. She's fantastic. I just think she is so. And people would she would say things that seemed just polemical and outer space. And the Twitter page would light up with, I have aunts that talk like that. My grandmother used to talk like that. This is really how people are thinking. So I would slow her down. I go, Miss Lee, wait, slow down. But what do you really? What is? Come on now. Yes, okay, but what's really going on? Finally, I'll never forget this. She goes, you know what we need? Me and my black friends, we need, Miss Doctor, we need cognitive behavioral therapy. I said, Miss Ellie, let's sit down and talk. And when she takes her crown off, she becomes the sweetest, nicest little lady you've ever met in your entire life. But she puts that crown on, she comes, Miss Ellie, and better watch out.
Oh, I love her so much, and I didn't even know she existed.
Look her up online.
I will.
I'm looking at pictures of her right now.
She's crown every day.
Dr. Drew, in 5 years, and you've done, as you mentioned, a lot of shows about race that have been interesting to people. Do you feel like we're making any progress on that issue based on all the talk about it, or are we still where we were 50 years ago and 100 years ago?
No. It's something that moves forward always, but slowly. And it's, you know, comes up in flares and crises. And the one thing I would say is, and it's not just race. It's all of our bigotry and biases and fears that don't the one thing I noticed is I'm not afraid of these topics. I love all kinds of people and I find them so rich, and I'm just turned on by all the different kinds of ways of thinking and living that are out there. Don't be afraid of one another. I really, this came home for me when I filled my audience with Muslim Americans, and they were afraid because they were getting prepared for sort of an attack. And I said, no, you need like a good PR agent. There's nothing wrong with you. You're Americans. You're like the rest of us. You have a religion, and you should be more hurt than anybody because a group of people have usurped something you love and are doing horrible things because of it. That's not your fault. So everybody, just don't be afraid of one another and ask questions. And people are so grateful when you go, what's it really like? What's your experience? They're just grateful. And nobody ever goes, I don't want to talk to you. They always go, thank you for listening. Thank you for, you know, caring that to hear my story.
Do you have to listen, or can you just ask?
Is that Kevin?
I'm just saying. But I'm saying.
Hey.
We're all just people.
You have to
look.
Listen. You have to listen a little
Dr.
bit.
Dr. Drew, I'm glad that it's
for some than others, but just a little. Just listen a little.
I'm glad that a show like yours is on the air, and I do think about this from time to time before we let you go here because, you know, for instance, there's so much in the news this week about that new law that was passed in Mississippi that restricts a lot of people. And I was thinking, who knows what is going on in those people's classrooms and family dinners. It's nice that there is another outlet, another place for them to see people talking about these issues and saying different things than they might hear in their own house. And you got to expose people to other points of view so that people can then come to an intelligent conclusion,
look,
I think.
Unless somebody's trying to harm you. So what I'm saying is there are violent, evil, horrible people out there. They're there. Everybody else is just like you and me, just trying to get by. We all have our own prism through which we're seeing it and experiencing it. But we're all just people. Really.
We're all just people.
We're all just people. That's our takeaway here. Well, congratulations, Dr. Drew, on 5 years. I hope you have many more on HLN Monday through Thursday nights afternoons now at 4 p.m. Don't forget Dr. Drew on with Mike Catherwood, weekday afternoons on KBC, and, of course, 5 nights a week here on Loveline while it lasts. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
It is 7:54.
I'm not seeing as much Ralph Garman in that chair as I expected.
He'll be there. He'll be there.
Okay. Jim Rome joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so on the Kevin Bean Show. We are told he has a surprise for us. That concerns me very much. And then the great John Cena will stop by as well. Oh, I hope he's going to rap for us. That'd be fun. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
It's all about Star Wars. A Star Wars story. Rogue One is the title of the film. Directed by Gareth Edwards. Written by Chris Weitz. Movie comes out in December, and everyone's talking about it because the teaser trailer debuted this morning, first on Good Morning America on ABC.
So good.
Now available online. The basic premise is it's a standalone story set in the Star Wars universe just before A New Hope. So if you ever wondered how they got the plans for the Death Star to send Luke in there to drop a few bombs in the old exhaust port.
Right.
Which I did last night with the wife, by the way. Then, now you know, Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Exhaust port.
Is how they got the plans.
Wow.
Thanks to these wonderful rebels led by the lovely Jyn Erso. Oh, Jyn Erso. Damn. Here's right? the thing about Disney / ABC. They're just cornering the market on smoking hot British chicks with slight overbites, which maybe is like my new favorite thing.
Slight overbites.
And it's also my Tumblr. You should go check out. Here's a little taste of the backstory on Jyn Erso, played by the lovely and talented Felicity Jones, from the teaser trailer of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take...
What? That's not it.
That sound good.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault. Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
Come yeah, on. Yeah, she does.
Yeah, that's the deal. So
that's the
good.
Business right there.
There's that ass, and there's rebels. And you know the nice thing about this? No freaking Jedis in this movie, as far as we can tell. It's
well,
just
there's nothing wrong with Jedis, though.
Yeah, how is yeah, that?
The Force.
That's the whole...
Give me a good blaster by my side.
Star Wars.
Give me a good blaster by my side any day. I don't care about your old religion, old man.
Wow.
Who said that?
I am still thinking about your wife's exhaust
you
pipe.
You don't know. I bet you are. Port. It's port. An exhaust port.
Excuse me.
This is why you failed.
Right. Han Solo. That was Han Solo.
Sure.
Anyway, I just like because it looks like a full-blown action-adventure film. Much more like a spy movie than it does sort of like a Star Wars.
Like James Bondy, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. With the smoking hot chick as the favorite. Lead. So it's not your favorite.
Oh.
You've never seen one.
That's right.
And people also talking about the passing of Merle Haggard this morning. Passed yesterday on his, what would have been his 79th birthday. Well, I guess it was. I guess he kind of squeezed it in there before the end. But sad news, because he was a country music legend, a great singer-songwriter, part of the Bakersfield sound, which a lot of people, when you think country music, you think Texas and Kentucky and what have you. But Bakersfield, California. Nashville. Bakersfield was a big hotbed of country music, thanks to the work of Merle Haggard. So he passed away at the age of 79.
I think this would be a good policy, by the way, if all of us... Now, this could sound weird when I first say it. What if all of us only were able to die on our birthdays?
What the hell are you talking about?
Wait.
Because the other 364 days a year, you don't have to worry about whether this is my day or not. And then just every year when it rolls around, like it did for Merle yesterday on his birthday, at some point one of them is when you'll be taken. But if you survive that day, then boom, you got a whole other year. You don't have to sweat it anymore.
That'd make birthdays fun, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it really be birthdays fun?
That's the day I might die every year.
When you get together with your friends and family and everybody, they bring out the cake and you're just white-knuckling it, waiting for midnight.
Yeah, but you'd have one day to sweat it instead of worrying about it tomorrow and in a week and in a month and in 6 months.
I don't worry about dying ever.
Oh, really?
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Bean just obsessed, thinks of death all the time.
I just thought
about.
It sounded like a great, kind of a great relief to just have one day, just to take all that 12 months of worry.
Unless you're the kind
of
person who enjoys your birthday, then you know it's going to suck.
Yeah, that's the worst suggestion ever.
It does suck because you're playing Russian roulette on your birthday every
year. Right, but 78 years in a row, Merle Haggard had a birthday and didn't die. Those are wins.
But if he knew he was going to die on his birthday, you know what happened on his 15th birthday? Oh, crap. Am I going to get hit by lightning today? 16th birthday? Nightmare. 17th night? Every year is a nightmare on your birthday because it's like the purge. You don't know when it's going to come and get you.
But you're not hearing me because the other 11 months and 29 days, you don't worry about dying.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
Okay. I can tell you guys aren't on board yet, but the more you think about it, the more you're going to realize that's a great goddamn idea.
When is your birthday? That's what I want to know. And can we start it on your birthday? Can we start this new rule?
And end it on his birthday.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of birthdays, Russell Crowe.
Oh, look out, Russell Crowe. This could be it.
It's not the case. Just because you
don't
dream it up in that weird head of yours doesn't mean it's
happening.
You
don't know.
Make a rule. Jackie Chan is 61.
Oh, he had a good run.
He's still alive. He's enjoying his birthday
so far.
It's not death day.
Oh, right?
Because he's having a good time having dinner with his family, not worried about is it death day or not.
Until he has a heart attack after dinner having his cigar, and then that's the end for Jackie Chan. You don't know that.
Sure. Famous cigar smoker, yes. Jackie Chan.
He's well known for his after dinner cigars.
Or whatever.
Yeah. All those photos
put
they
that
have
in the
of
bad
him.
Example file for next time.
His after dinner cigars.
Wow.
Francis Ford Coppola is 76 years old today.
Poor guy.
Just say it so we can move on.
I'm Ralph Garwalk-Sears.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Sports radio legend Jim Rome on with us right now, as he does every Thursday at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jim, I'm listening to the show yesterday, and I swear to God, you spent 50 minutes giving me tips on how to do good karaoke. I want to say I appreciate that. That's going to be good information for me if I ever need it the next time I'm out.
Wow. Hey, good. I'm glad you heard that. In fact, that may come back sooner than you even know, but it's good that you had that information. Remember that. Remember that. That's good.
Jim's letting us know, hey, it's not Carnegie Hall. Don't go up there and think you're going to blow people's doors off with a ballad. Sing something that's fun. I mean, he just had a whole list of tips. I'm writing them down as fast as I can while I'm driving, Jim. It's good stuff.
That's private intel. That's confidential information. Do not give that up. Do not give that up. Keep that to yourself, all right?
You can
come around. Trust me.
You can follow along with the JimRome.com, by the way, if he's not on in your neighborhood. And we got a lot of ground to cover with you today. And I want to start by saying, and Kevin hates it when people talk about the first week of the season, but let's face it. The Dodgers may never lose a game. I mean, they are on track to be 162-0, and that's pretty great news.
Dude, you're on pace, guy. You're on pace, guy. We all hate on pace, guy. The guy who starts spitting knowledge and numbers and facts based on one game or one day. However, if you look at what just happened, they're all banged up, but they just beat down the Padres. They shut them out three times in a row to start the year. That has never happened before.
Right.
So, guys, the obvious question, are the Dodgers that good or are the Padres that crappy? And the answer is yes. Yes, both.
Yes to both.
Yes. It's pretty early. I would not – everybody's trying to give the NL to the Cubs. I would not do that just yet, but I think we can say already the Padres are not going to figure in this thing.
Look, I just love that in 120 years of baseball history that there are still records to be broken. And then, granted, nobody wants a record for futility, but this is the longest a team has ever opened a season without scoring a run, 27 innings in a row.
Nailed it. Exactly right. It's one of my favorite things. I mean, they've played baseball, what, like 1,500 years? The fact that there are still records that can be broken, the fact that somebody can still do something that has never been done in the 15,000-year record of Major League Baseball is incredible. That's how bad the Padres were to start the year. You know, guys, the problem also is it's going to be really interesting. The Dodgers are in tough with the Giants in the West, but they've got money, they've got resources they can trade. Problem is, a lot of Dodger fans still don't get to see it because of that TV deal.
What are your thoughts on that TV deal?
You know, it's kind of frustrating. I thought that at this point, I mean, I knew early on there were going to be issues, but you figure a few years into it that they'd be better off and much closer to giving the fans what they want.
Right.
But it's not happening. It's not happening yet, and it looks like there's no quick fix. So it's frustrating if you're a Dodger fan, and especially when you consider it's the most popular Dodger ever in his last year, Vin Scully.
Right.
So that's
right,
tough. Right. That's tough.
And by the way, we took calls on this Monday for opening day, and we had listeners calling in who were very frustrated. Frustrated because they can't watch the games, and their kids can't fall in love with baseball because they can't watch the games. And also making suggestions like, hey, let's boycott the live experience. Let's not go to Dodger Stadium. But that never works. You can't really boycott a Dodgers game because somebody else will always come along and buy a ticket, right?
No, that's still a great experience. You know, the way we talk about this a lot with the NFL, that staying at home to watch football is a lot different than going to the stadium once a week or eight times a year because you have so many conveniences at home. You've got HD. There's no waiting. There's no parking. Everything is fine. But you know what? Baseball is still great. You want to be a part of the experience. You want to go to the yard. It's something to do in the spring and the summer. So I don't buy that. That whole, hey, well, we're not going to go. Number one, you're going to go. And number two, if you don't go, somebody else will. So that's not going to work.
Everybody needs a nap. That's my point.
Is that your point?
It's a super boring sport.
Okay.
That's what
How
I'm
dare
saying.
You. All right, let's change gears and talk Warriors. Do we have – it looked like they were going to run the table at one point this year. Are they now in danger of not having the winningest record in NBA history because they seem to be slipping a little bit down the stretch?
Yeah, it's looking less and less like it. I would have said a couple of weeks ago that they were a lock, but then they got wrecked at home by the T-Wolves, the Minnesota freaking T-Wolves, right? The 26-win T-Wolves. It took them more than 2 months to lose two games, and then they lost 2 in 5 days. So now they've got to win their last four to get that record, and I'm not sure that's going to happen. And I think, you know, there's no reason to, like, grip or panic, but they've got to shake themselves. They just look bored, annoyed, distracted. They've got to get right before the postseason, and if that means not getting the record and locking in, that's not a bad thing. But it does not look very good right now.
That's what I was going to ask, is this can be a very distracting type of thing as you go into the playoffs if you're focusing too much on breaking that record. But it's an amazing record to break.
I think that's what it is. I think they were into it. I think they wanted it. But then all of a sudden it became bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about. And then they get annoyed. Then they get distracted. And then all of a sudden you lose track of the prize. I mean, say they get their record. If they win their last four games and they break the record and they don't win the ring, it would be like it didn't even happen. They'd get mocked more for doing it. So better to not get the record and get the ring than to not get the ring and get the record and have everybody clown you.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. If they don't win another championship, this season will only be looked at as not successful based on what they've got to put out on the court. And this reminds me so much of the discussions that fans have, you know, like the Patriots a couple of years ago when they were going for that perfect season. They were talking about how many guys they should rest because they're already in the playoffs. Why waste guys? You know what I mean? But, I mean, I guess that's a... You know, that's a choice you got to make. What's important to you?
Horrible. I mean, I finally am somewhat getting over it. We don't need to bring that up.
Okay.
That's one of those things, Allie, that you never really get over. You just try to get past.
Yeah.
It's always there.
All right, Jim, you got a mystery topic for us. What is it?
You know, I got a pop quiz for you guys. All right. Now, you like football, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I know you like karaoke because you started the show, this segment with it, right?
Right, yeah.
Let me play you a bit of a player that you all love, just killing the karaoke game, and you tell me if you know who this player is. All right?
All right.
Ready? Do it. Listen.
I'm going to go John Elway.
John Elway.
Is that right?
John Elway. Wrong answer. It sounds like John Elway.
I can't even figure. What is the song? Do you know?
Allie, that,
Rocky Top.
Allie, literally, this is one of your favorite guys. You don't know who this is.
Is it a Patriot?
It's got to be Gronk, then. Is it Gronk?
You're Gronk.
She's guessing Gronk.
Show me Gronk. Come on, Allie.
Bean?
I have to recuse myself because I was listening to Jim Rome yesterday, so I already know the answer.
One of my favorite guys is either Belichick, Edelman, Gronk, Brady.
I hope it's Belichick.
Amendola.
That would be awesome.
Is it Belichick? Show me Bill Belichick. No, Bean, give it to him. Who is it?
Too bad.
Is it Kraft?
Well, Allie, it's the opposite of one of your favorite guys.
Why
would you
do that?
It's known cheater, in your opinion, the great Peyton Manning.
Than noted Patriot honk Allie accusing somebody else of cheating.
It's a beautiful thing when you're right. When you're right.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm so glad that you heard that.
Sweet.
But I think that some people didn't hear that. This whole karaoke thing, hey, go ahead and do it. That's fine. But, man, this guy has played on some of the biggest stages in the world. And I've never seen a guy with worse stage presence than that in some hillbilly bar. I mean, come on, Peyton.
That is a classic piece of tape. That is awesome, Jeff.
One piece of advice for those who don't know, really quickly, guys, key to karaoke, song selection. You do not want to sing Brown Eyed Girl to your Brown Eyed Lady. People hate that.
Right.
Bachelorettes. Do not drag all 15 of yourselves up on stage to scream Baby Got Back. We hate that too. There's a right way and a wrong way.
What's your song of choice, Jim?
Hey, whatever you know and whatever you're comfortable with.
If you were going to sing a song, what song?
There's not enough liquor in the world for me to get up on stage and do that. I have no song for that sort of thing.
I said that once.
Not doing it.
There is enough liquor, just so you know. I went for a friend of mine, Michelle's birthday, and we did some duets. And Mr. Belding was there.
Oh, man.
So a lot went down at Dimples that
night. Add that to my list. Do not do duets with your best friend after several cocktails.
Just because it's not on your AM dial anymore is no excuse to miss every episode of the Jim Rome Show. 3 hours of great sports talk. Go to jimrome.com for more. Have a great week,
By the way, I
listen
to him on 1090. He comes in quite well on 1090
AM. He blasts right out of San Diego. That's a good way to go, too.
Yep.
You guys are the best.
Thanks, Jim. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:24.
Right? How about WWE superstar, 15-time world champion John Cena, the man who minutes ago, Kevin, was saying, I think I could take that guy. Here he is in studio with us here on K-Rock. Hey, John, how are you, man?
How are you? Thanks for the rare appearance of hip-hop.
Although we're not going to make you fight because you're wearing that pretty suit. We don't want to get that screwed up.
Thank you very much.
welcome to the show, man.
Dean, I feel like if any of us fought him, his suit would be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You think so? Like, there wouldn't even be a crease on
Remember
it.
Remember, like, when your grandpa would hold your forehead and you'd try and punch and you couldn't reach him? That would be this.
Scene from a Bond movie.
Yes.
Keep the suit intact no matter what.
So, John, you got a lot going on. There's a lot of ground that we want to cover, including the debut or the series premiere of American Grit, which is coming up next Thursday night.
Next Thursday on Fox, and it's an awesome show. I think everybody's really going
to
love it.
I'm excited to talk about that, and the people you have on this show. Well, I'll save that.
Okay, great.
I first want to start with WWE WrestleMania 32.
Yes.
You came out, and lots of boos, like usual. Lots of cheering, like usual.
Like,
but you're not ready to
fight.
Going
to any party, man. I'm here for the boos.
Exactly, yeah. The fans were so happy to see you, but tell us how your recovery from your horrendous injury has been going.
It's been going really
fine.
Well. And I was certainly medically cleared to do what I did at WrestleMania. There's a lot of speculation, like, he went out there against doctor's orders. I've been doing really well. I was given a long 9-month timeline to be out. I think that was a little precautious. So at 3 months, I was like, I can try to go out and beat somebody up.
and the doctor was fine with it?
Yes. And I talked to my surgeon extensively after he was there. He attended the event. He actually watched what I did and was impressed that I could move my shoulder in that capacity. And we're working on a solid return date where I can come back to full-time WWE action.
Excellent.
Is your surgeon afraid of you, though?
So warm up the hate machine, because I'm on the horizon.
Was there a time after the injury where you feared it could be a career ender, John?
No, there was a time before. Going into a surgery like that, the surgeon has to give you full medical disclosure. And they thought it was actually a torn labrum, and I'll get just briefly medical. Sometimes imaging can be incorrect. So the surgeon said, with a torn labrum, I'm going to have to move your biceps tendon. And it is the same side that they already moved my pectoral tendon. I had a chest injury a while ago. So he said, with that, if that happens, you probably won't be able to do anything pressing over your head for your entire life, which means me lifting guys up in my typical fashion would be done. So I would have to reevaluate my career.
Right.
It turns out that I had a worse surgical repair, but I did not have that injury. So my rotator cuff was torn, my AC joint, which is basically if you follow your collarbone to the end, that's where the AC joint is, and the humeral head, the little ball and socket, the ball, my ball was cut in half.
Your ball was
no
cut
one
in
wants
half.
That,
yes,
John.
It really was. So they rebuilt my ball.
To hear.
And you are, and you're feeling great.
I am. I really thought I was okay to go a month ago, and I started really pushing, like, guys, I don't know, I'm feeling, like, uncharacteristically good. So if it was up to me, I'd be back full time now, but I'm just kind of trying to play nice with the doctors.
Do you think WWE is the type of thing, you know, because you've got so many other things going on with this hosting job, with your great appearances in Trainwreck and Sisters, and obviously you're, you know, in demand now as an actor. Would you like to get out of WWE, or do you love it so much you want to stay as long as you possibly can?
I think hopefully it grows into a situation. As we see so many new faces on WWE the day after WrestleMania, they just debuted a whole other crew of superstars. And that gives all these people opportunity to succeed. I think for a while in the WWE, there was a stretch where they were clamoring for new faces. Now it's almost like we have an excess of new faces and new personalities. So as I turn 39 this April, I certainly would like to...
You're turning 39?
Yes.
That's bogus.
Yes, it is. It should be 40. I'm kidding. It'll be next year.
Look at
unless it's that weird birthday thing you guys were talking about.
Right?
Yeah, be careful of that, man.
That's staring down the barrel. Who knows? It could be the day.
That was Bean's idea. Not reality.
But I'd like to get it to a point where all these things I do outside the WWE eventually bring more eyes back to the WWE. So I hope people watch American Grit and love it for what the show is, but then once, I'll check them out on WWE, or Trainwreck. Well, I'll check them out at the thing. So hopefully it's a giant effort that we can all work together. Everybody's always like, when are you leaving? It sucks because I love it, so I'm not leaving. So that's my answer.
And that seems to be, I mean, look how many guys, look at The Rock, for instance. Talk about a guy who could leave the WWE, but he refuses to because it's one of his favorite things in the world.
And
that
it is. It's that
to
indescribable excitement that we try so hard to promote. Like, hey, guys, if you've never experienced it, you have a preconceived notion or perception of what we do, just go. Just go and have a good time and be excited. And at the end, you'll be emotionally exhausted and it'll be a cool experience.
You've been in it for, 16 years, something like that?
Something like that.
Okay. What was it like for you at WrestleMania 32 to see 100,000-plus fans there at AT&T Stadium in Dallas?
I mean, the enormity is awesome, but I always look at things from a company perspective. And the first thing I was like, man, how are we going to top this next year?
Maybe since it was only 5 hours, you can go 8.
Yeah, yeah. Just give them a lot of programming.
That was a lot of hours.
Yeah, but amazingly enough, I actually watched the very last match from the crowd. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing I said to myself as they're going back and forth through their performance and the crowd is on its feet. I'm saying, wow, these people, after all, sometimes long is not necessarily good.
And I think it was still a lot of pent up.
Yeah,
extremely
exciting
for Roman when he came out.
Yeah, but that's good.
Absolutely.
Speaking from a guy who kind of, you rides that wave.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Roman Reigns?
Yet to be determined. I think he's in a position right now where he is getting an opportunity, and our audience doesn't like to see you get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. They like to see you earn it. As a matter of fact, they always like to see the guy who never gets the opportunity. So someone has to get it. Mm-hmm. Roman is incredibly skilled. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's strong as an ox. He's got good resolve, like he's got a good head on his shoulders. But it's all in how he deals with, okay, there's no denying that you're the guy who's getting that opportunity.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, John Cena is here. We're going to talk about his TV show where he's going to try and kill somebody. It's called American Grit.
I don't think that's what he's doing.
It looks like. I saw the trailer.
Just gross misinterpretation of what we're trying
to do. It looks
like
you're trying to kill somebody.
So that's not what we're trying
to do. That's not what you're trying to do.
But that's your view through the looking glass.
Okay, I'm just saying that's what it looked like.
All right.
You can correct me. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with John Cena.
WWE superstar John Cena in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show next Thursday night. You can see him on your TV on Fox at 9 o'clock. The show is called American Grit.
Yes.
Kevin, this is a show we would not be good at.
No, I would die within, 5 minutes.
You would not last.
Right.
I think you would make it out alive.
Right.
Yes. Let's hear a little bit of the trailer. Then we'll talk to John about it.
I've recruited 16 of the fiercest competitors across the country. They've each overcome obstacles in their own lives, but they have never faced a challenge quite like this.
Let's go!
Competing in teams of 4 and be put through punishing military-based exercises.
Let's go!
One team only can walk away with $1 million. Who will step up and prove to themselves and the world they have American grit?
All right, John. What's different about the contestants on your show versus every other show?
They die.
The selection of contestants is made for the sake of aspiration. You heard me say fiercest competitors. That doesn't mean a carbon copy of big, strong weightlifters or sleek marathon runners. That means they come from all walks of life, and the word fierce is defined by their resolve. If they're parents of a teenage pregnancy and they grow up and raise 3 kids on their own, and they're in their spare time they're playing roller derby, but they've said like, "Hey, I've gone through my life and I've never given up. I've been I've been faced with a set of challenges I never give up, and I like that. That's kind of like my thing."
So you're looking for that heart.
Yes,
that
heart. I wanted to get an eclectic group that is very similar to cadets coming off the bus at basic training.
Ooh.
Because the military finds these people, and these people sign up, and they're recruited by the military. When they get off the bus, they come from all different walks of life with all different skill sets. Because I got these brilliant military minds. I have an Army sergeant who's a double amputee and one of the most functional human beings I've ever seen in my life. I have a 19-year United States Marine Corps female vet who's a gunnery sergeant, an Army Ranger sniper, and a commander of the Navy SEALs. And these folks have an elite knowledge base, and every one of their skill sets involves leading people and goal-oriented accomplishment. So you take this group that says they'll never give up, you split them into teams, you each give them a military leader, and it's about the absorption of transition of knowledge. These guys have knowledge, and they want to give it to the civilians so they can eventually chase up to a $1 million prize. There's a bunch at stake if they work together as a team, just like a unit off of basic. The military has these challenges, and the challenges will be grueling physically, but mostly they will test your resolve. During basic, people say, well, can I make it or not? It's not necessarily because of the physical punishment. It's because of the military's way to create that determination, to create that resolve.
Right.
So through the course of this show, you will see people tested, and they give up, they go home. They can't be voted off. It's not like if I don't like them, I can send them home, or the military cadre can send them home, or their contestants can send them home. They
Sniper
leave when they
takes them
so
out.
By them
they leave when they give up.
Yeah, they're done.
Yes, in typical Navy SEAL tradition, they will have to ring a giant bell to say that I'm done. I have given up.
Wow. And even though these are incredibly difficult physical challenges,
yes,
really all of them can accomplish these things physically.
Yes, and that's what I want the viewer at home to say, I can do that. This is right. not a show where you look at a giant spectacle and be like, that is impossible. Yes, they are challenging, and yes, there is a nice sense of production and entertainment, and it's going to be huge. We're in the Pacific Northwest. I know you're up in Seattle. We were at the base of Mount Rainier in the Pack Forest. It was absolutely beautiful. So we have enormity, and we have all those things you're going to see on a program, but we also have attainability. And I think everyone will see this and not only be inspired that, like, whoa, I can do that, but also feel good for the people that succeed because they'll be able to feel their pain. Some of these competition shows on TV, the stuff is so outlandish that you can't conceptualize. You're like, well, that looks tough, but I have no idea what it feels like. You'll be able to relate to every single thing you see on the show, and you'll be able to go through the journey of the contestants, and I think that's what's special.
I feel like heart and will are two of the things that would be really difficult to cast, though. Like, maybe you don't know about somebody's will until they're in that position.
And that's what's great, because day one, I made all of these contestants accountable. In all of their submission videos, they explained their life story and said, I will never give up. So day one, not only do I introduce them to these military leaders, so right away they know that I'm serious. And then following it up with, oh, by the way, not only are you competing for a financial prize, but your word is on the line. So now everybody around the world knows you've said you'll never give up. We'll see who will never give up. So it really, it created a great sense of determination, a sense of realism. And honestly, through the course of the competition, the financial prize was very rarely brought up. Like, everyone just wanted to achieve it.
It's all about the competition.
It was great. Yeah, it really was great, man. Such a great experience. And I'm so thankful for Fox to not only let me be a part of it, but for the people they recruited, man. Our military leaders are just something special.
It debuts a week from tonight, next Thursday night.
Yes, next Thursday.
On Fox. How many episodes are there?
We're going to do 10 episodes, so it's going to be a 10-week journey. And I honestly think that people will feel good about this show, man. I'm so excited. I would love to do it again. I haven't had this much excitement about a project since I've stood in the ring in the WWE performing.
I'm just disappointed when I see the people on your show with nicknames like the Reaper and the Machine. I feel like I need a better nickname. I feel like that's where I'm dropping the ball.
You don't like Bean?
John, you. I want to talk about. I want to talk about.
It is a legume.
It is indeed.
Well said.
Yeah.
I want to talk about being mentally strong because you obviously you work so hard in your career to get where you have and to work back from this injury that you had. How do you stay mentally strong? Like, what is the motivation for you to do things that other people think you can't do?
You know, I was asked a similar question, and it basically comes down to I have the luxury of, and I do not forget this, there's not a day that goes by that I don't appreciate this. My work is my passion. So usually the roadblocks that I have in life have to do with my work, which is great because it's something that I love. So let's say if you work all week just to spend time on your boat, and if you have a problem with the boat, you're going to go fix it because you love working on the boat. Mm-hmm. I just love what I do. So anytime I have a roadblock, like the crowd being back and forth towards me, mm-hmm. I have one of two ways to go about that. Put on a boo-boo face and tell them all to go F themselves, and my career is probably short. Or I can take it in stride, see how I can do it, because I truly am passionate about what I do. The injury is the same thing. Hey, you're out for 9 months.
Yeah, that must have killed you.
It did. And I always in the back of my head, I had a realistic perspective of, okay, I'm not supposed to be at WrestleMania. But I was going to do every single thing I could. And about 400 hours of physical therapy later, my surgeon's like, well, I can't tell you no because you're looking great. Go ahead and do it. So at least I gave it my all. And sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. But at least if you lead by example in that respect, I'm not just a guy who's like, oh, yay, never give up because it was regurgitated by the corporate tower over in Stanford. Like, that is my ethos. It is what
I
believe.
Yeah, you believe it. And do you have the same passion for acting, or are you just doing that because you're so damned handsome it would be a crime to not put you on camera?
Well, that's because you're not in studio here.
Horrible to look at, James. It is awful.
I greatly appreciate that. I think the great thing about acting is the creativity and the storytelling that's behind it. Like, and for so long, you're a fan of the WWE, for so long you've mm-hmm. seen one side of my personality is all you know.
Yeah.
And I have to play within the WWE goalpost. We are PG, so there's certain things I can't do. But I am going to be a 39-year-old adult male. There is an R-rated side to me. This is what this stuff is for.
We're the best part of Trainwreck.
You truly were. I had no idea your comic timing. You were brilliant.
You probably hear that a lot, I bet, John.
No, because it was an extremely funny movie.
So
I like that just people enjoyed it. But it was one of those chances where, you know, I love to create. Like, they gave me this, hey, the original sex scene was supposed to be like Amy Schumer with Real Big Guy, and it was supposed to be more physical comedy. But when we got bantering back and forth and started ad-libbing, it's like, okay, there may be something here. Try to make it awkward. And in making it awkward, I started to think about this guy and develop this whole crazy universe for this one bit part.
Yeah.
But it's the thing about acting, I just love the creation. Just like we do every Monday on Raw, we have to relay the constant battle of good versus evil in different packaging. So I love the creative side of it.
Did that part in that movie come out way better than you thought it would?
Absolutely. And I thought the gag originally, like, big guy, normal sized person, I thought that would be funny.
Right.
But when we started to, like, riff on what you could possibly do, and they added a few more scenes, like the theater scene and the scene on the stoop, yes. Then I was like, okay, I got enough time for the perception of this guy to sink in. Let's go for it. So it was fun.
The movie was great, but I think what Ali's point is that you were such a surprise for us. That was you were what we were talking about when we walked out of the theater, because we expected to love Amy Schumer, and we did, but we didn't know how much we were going to love your character.
I saw glimpses of your personality on Total Divas. They make fun of me because I watch Total Divas.
I watch
really
Total Divas too.
It.
You guys make fun of me?
No, we love it.
All right, cool.
We love it too. Right, we watch it every week.
Well, you get to see your personality in that as well. So it wasn't that big of a shock, but your comedic timing. Is that something you want to do in the future, do a ton of comedy?
Well, those gigs are great because you go to work and laugh all day.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're surrounded by such funny people.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I want to do it? I mean, I'm not the guy going, put me in this movie, damn it. So, like, if those opportunities come up, I'd love to. But, like, anything where you have that group of funny people and you can just laugh all day, like, that's a good day at the office.
That's a good day at the office. All right, while we're talking about passions, I saved the best for last. Rap music.
Oh, yeah.
This is not something that was created for your character. This is something you made part of your character because you love rap music.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, as a mean kid on the street of West Newbury, I was a very impressionable teen when, like, rap music became mainstream. When mm-hmm. when it started to become like Yo MTV Raps on MTV, when NWA first broke. Like, what a better music or stance of rebellion than a kid in a 99% white town to go around saying F the police and dress in all black and Raiders gear. And like, it just resonated with me. So it literally shaped my youth. And when I had a chance, I really wasn't connecting with the WWE audience. And when I had a chance to use hip hop music and my knowledge of hip hop music and rap on television, I was like, okay, this is a great way for me to connect, because immediately, if you don't know what a John Cena is, when I come out dressed as a thug, you point and say, that's the rap guy. So that's what it takes in our business. You have to be able to, from the second you step out of the curtain, our audience to identify with you. And through being the rap guy, I kept trying to create and be entertaining, and then slowly evolved into what I am today.
I got to tell you, I remembered that you had put out a rap album.
Yes.
And I thought, I'm going to go back and find an embarrassing clip on it so that we could play it and we could all laugh. There aren't any.
No, I produced 75 songs under my own accord, and we chose the best, like, 16 or 17 for the album. And we got real production. We involved, I wanted to involve real MCs. We got Freddie Fox, and we got some New England local MCs. Like, it was really a passion project of mine, because once again, in trying to define character, I wanted to be authentic.
Here's one of the songs that you put on. This is John Cena rapping now. This is called The Time Is Now.
It's okay to be hard and stay true, man, but at the end of the day, we are human. This one's for you, the ones that you're close to. Show some love, it's what you're supposed to. Right now, forget the ends and the bends. Pop a cold one, man. Toast it with your real friends. Call your folks. Tell them you tight now. Because everything looking pretty good right now.
All right, that's right now. That was not the other one. The other one was his walk-in
music. The other
music,
one
but
is
that's
deep
the slow
in the mainstream.
Jam.
Yeah, that's a slow jam.
Come on.
It's like a little I Need Love feeling.
It's really good.
Yeah, and we filmed a video based on, like, addressing the elephant in the room. We filmed it at my house in West Newbury. We threw a huge keg party with my friends. And it was more like, hey, guys, hip-hop music is a great medium. It's okay if you're not a thug. It's okay if you're not from the streets. If you are passionate about the project, just do the music. Don't worry about all the BS that is surrounded in that development.
It's not,
that's great.
It's not cool that you can do everything.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff for the rest. No, I just, somebody has to say it.
I just do stuff that I like. I just do stuff that I like. That's all.
Well, you'll see John Cena on your TV next Thursday night. The show is called American Grit. And you will never feel more like a slug watching the show sitting at home on your couch when you see what these men and women are doing. And John, you are terrific on it. And congratulations on your recovery. We hope to see you back in the WWE soon. And your movies and your TV and everything that you're doing, man, just keep it up. And by the way, a quick before you go, thank you for what you're doing with the Make-A-Wish, too,
oh,
by the way.
Thank
because
you,
man. That, I mean, you are the all-time champion for granting little kids wishes who want something, you know, important in their lives. And you've made, what, 500-plus happen so far?
The number is irrelevant, man. It's the concept of the charity. It's a chance to make families and people happy, and that's what Make-A-Wish
is. It's so beautiful, though, the way you choose to spend your time with the Make-A-Wish kids, man.
Thank you.
It really is so, so impressive. John, a pleasure to have you back in, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:57.
I think this might be the manliest episode of the Kevin and Bean Show ever, by the way.
Okay.
Just saying with
don't know what to do with that.
Just saying with John Cena just walking out, right. And walking in next is Luke Rockhold and Uriah Faber from the UFC. I'm just saying that's a lot of man. That's all I'm saying.
Let me be the judge of that.
Okay. All right.
Bean, look, we all can tell you're happy.
Take it easy.
They will be Luke and Uriah will be joining us right off the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Pretty good ratings for the finale of FX's The People v. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story. About 3.3 million viewers, which isn't a lot for regular broadcast networks, but it's really good for basic cable. Once they take a look at the DVR viewing, they figure it'll probably be closer to 5 million people watching.
So great.
So that's pretty good news. You've heard the new series that is being done now about the Menendez brothers based on the popularity of...
I didn't know that.
...of this story. So we'll get to relive that trial all over again, too, which was just a lot of fun. This is an interesting documentary project. Alex Winter, who you probably remember best as Bill from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He is now a movie producer, and he's raising money on Kickstarter for an official documentary on the late Frank Zappa. Now, a lot of people may not know the work of Frank Zappa. He was, how do you put this, an experimental musician. He danced to the beat of his own drummer. He was a unique guy who did a lot of work in the 60s and 70s primarily, and some of his work is considered seminal when it comes to rock.
And also some of it.
And some of it's just,
weird-ass
music. Yeah. You may remember he is the father of Moon Unit Zappa, who had the smash hit Valley Girl that he also worked on.
Sure.
But Dweezil, too?
Dweezil as well, yeah. So they are working on a documentary about the life of Frank Zappa. It's a film Alex will also be directing called Who the F is Frank Zappa? And it has the blessings of the Zappa estate, which means that there'll be an endless amount of film and video and audio to use. And
I have a clip if people want to hear his music.
Some Frank Zappa music?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, I'd love to hear some.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
He wasn't always good.
I don't think that was Frank Zappa.
I watched that Alex Winter documentary from last year, Ralph, that he did on the dark web, or the deep web, whatever it was called. And it was very well done. I'm encouraged by this news. It's a great topic, and he seems like a pretty good director.
Rebel Wilson wants you to know she's not playing Adele in a biopic.
Okay.
I don't know how this rumor got started, but apparently it has been going around on the internet that they're going to do a movie about Adele's life starring Rebel Wilson. Look, just because...
Oh, jeez.
But
Adele actually addressed it during her concert at London's O2 Arena on Monday night. She said, "You don't get to make a film about me without my effing permission. Shut up. There's no film. Just because I'm plus size doesn't mean she's playing me." Rebel also responded by saying, "I've never been offered to play Adele in a biopic. A completely made-up tabloid story with fictitious unnamed source. I love Adele, though." So that's not going to happen. That's just cruel, putting those two women together simply because they have... on the large size.
Adele handles everything perfectly,
she
though.
She does. She's just charming. And Aerosmith may be getting off the road for good. Steven Tyler tells Rolling Stone magazine that a farewell tour is in the works for 2017.
they're going to have to hold off because Stephen's still out promoting his country album. So
that America demanded.
That America demanded. Joe Perry, by the way, of Aerosmith, is not that impressed with Stephen's country direction. He's got an effing rhinestone cowboy hat going. Yippee-ki-yay. I don't know what else to say about that, he said. So, maybe not the most successful.
We are getting to the point, though, where those, you know, those legendary 60s and 70s rock stars are either dying or getting so old that at some point they might retire. I mean, yeah. I guess we're going to see a lot more stories like this, you know. You'll see guys like Eric Clapton hanging it up, and a lot of them probably.
We're just glad Merle Haggard's dead, right? I mean, we can all agree with that.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one, right? We're happy that happened. We're happy.
No.
He deserved it, right?
He said in the meeting yesterday, you guys were all like, thank God he's gone.
Right.
No.
No. The opposite of that.
He was a bastard.
Nope.
Called him a bastard.
You didn't use the word bastard.
No.
I didn't say that at all. I said he was in my top five list of celebrities that I was pre-sad about dying. I've feared yesterday for years because of how sad I knew I was going to be when Merle Haggard died. And by the way, thank God Willie's still standing. You know what I mean?
Right? Mm-hmm. Waylon Willie and the boys.
Right?
Oh, wait a minute. It's just Willie now.
Because Waylon's gone and Johnny Cash is gone. A lot of them are gone.
Yep.
Now we lost Merle.
Oh, my goodness. This was the day I've been dreading for years.
I have been. Because he's had health problems in recent years.
What's going to happen with the highwaymen?
You are a weird person.
I love him so much.
He's a great man.
Great man.
A legend.
Great. Who
and
fears their death for years?
This any further.
That's weird.
Because the world was a better place when Merle Haggard was still in it making music, and we have lost something.
Fine, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you didn't enjoy the last 2 or 3 years of his life because you are afraid he was going to die. That's weird.
It was pretty sad, Kevin.
I was pretty sad. I spent a little bit of time every day being nervous that today was going to be the day. But then I didn't know that you could only die on your birthday. But now that I know that, then I shouldn't have had to worry until yesterday.
Bean's make-believe world is really getting out of control.
And he died, Kevin, of one of Bean's greatest foes, pneumonia. You know how he feels about
pneumonia? I don't understand pneumonia.
Right. No, he feels about pneumonia.
I don't get pneumonia.
Haven't they fixed that?
And I don't understand heart attacks.
They haven't conquered pneumonia yet.
That's a thing that was said on the show.
That can be done.
Look, I think we'd all be in a better place if no one died of pneumonia. That's all I was saying.
I agree,
Bean. So get on it, science.
Right? Get on it, science.
Don't disparage
that. Stop your lollygagging.
Don't bogart that joint. What?
Not yet. Not quite.
It's Thursday.
Oh, come on.
It's only Thursday.
The longest week ever.
You say that every week. You know that, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Francis Ford Coppola, Jackie Chan, and Russell Crowe all celebrate. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:09.
There's some very sparkly hardware in the studio right now. Kevin, do you see that? Is that
a
belt that.
That
I'm looking
That's
at right
a belt.
There?
Yes, that is a belt.
That looks like the middleweight champion belt from Luke Rockhold, who joins us in studio along with Uriah Faber. They are both going to be on the lineup. UFC 199, June 4th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster. Let's welcome Luke and Uriah to the show. Hey, guys.
What's up?
How are you?
Welcome. It's refreshing for us to have two guys in together who aren't going to be fighting each other, so we don't have to worry about running interference, because we've had several times over the course of the past few years we've had fighters come in to do interviews together, and they're going to fight each other, and that can get pretty testy.
Yeah. I'm glad Cruz isn't here right now. We don't really get along very well, so this is nice. My buddy from NorCal, it's a lot more of my style.
Just two dudes taking video of feet.
We've been fighting each other pretty hard on Snapchat.
If you're not on Snapchat, go watch Luke's. What's your Snapchat, Luke?
My Snapchat is Luke Rockhold. Check it out.
He just did a special interview with my feet without me knowing. Thanks for that, brother.
we'll be putting Uriah Faber on blast all day. I'm sure it'll be likewise on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, how do you feel? I mean, you still got several weeks to go, but June 4th at the Forum, that's cool, right?
Oh, man. I mean, the Forum, we just went and checked it out. They've revamped that place.
Doesn't it look great now?
Oh, my gosh. It looks amazing. And the history of that place is so cool. To be able to go there and be in the presence of the, what's happened in the past there is going to be amazing.
Aren't you guys a little afraid you're going to dirty it up a bit?
We will dirty it up a little bit, especially Luke.
bring some more history to that place, man. That's what it's all about, you know, making history.
It is funny. There are a few venues around the country, and we hear this a lot from musicians that we have in, where they go, man, when you get on stage, even though it's, you know, like you said, they've revamped the Forum, it's still the Forum, and you still have the echoes of, my God, Led Zeppelin, my God, you know, the Stones, my God, whatever, whoever you love, you two, whoever, played on this stage, you know, and it still feels historic anytime you do anything there, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that place, like I said, you go in there and they have all the – in the back room, they have all the pictures of what's gone down. And we're going to be performing out there. We're definitely going to lay it on the line and hopefully, like Luke said, add some history to that place.
Uriah, how much fighting do you have left in you?
You know, I was doing media yesterday and people keep asking me that. And I'm sitting right next to Dan Henderson, who's 46. Right? And I do not – want to be doing this in 10 years, but I definitely have some big fights left in me. I'm going to get the belt here and look for a couple big fights after that. I'm not someone that really plans ahead necessarily. When I lose the passion or feel like I can't compete at the highest level, that's probably when I'll hang it up.
Now, if you beat Dominic Cruz, you get the belt.
When I beat Dominic Cruz.
That's what I meant.
Come on, Kevin.
But then there's probably going to be a rematch there, right? Or no? Is that automatic or is it not?
You know what? I wouldn't mind. I love hitting that guy in the face. I'll rematch him every day if they'll let us. And I think he's kind of in the same boat. So there probably will be at some point, but there's a lot of other fights out there. There's me going up to 145s if I wanted to. There's Conor McGregor. There's Frankie Edgar. There's some history up there. People have talked a lot about TJ Dillashaw, who's the former champ. He used to be on my team as well. There's a bunch of big fights for me. So I'm going to go out there, get that belt, and go from there.
Were you disappointed that you didn't get the last Conor McGregor fight when it became suddenly available?
You know what? They called and they offered it to me with 10 days, and I accepted. And Dana said he was pushing for me to get it. I said yes. And Conor supposedly said that he wanted to fight Nate, and so it was kind of his decision at the
very
end.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it didn't work out for him. I think maybe Northern
California.
Didn't work
out for him at all.
Northern California might be his weakness.
Why do you think he made that decision? Just because it was,
you know,
it wasn't less challenging. He got beat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who knows why? I mean, maybe who knows why? But as far as me being ready to go, I was ready to go on that fight, and I actually like Conor. I spent a lot of time with him, and he's a character.
That's told us that when you were the coaches of the Ultimate Fight.
Yeah, it's not
you had a good time with each other.
His thing is not fake. I mean, does he get on my nerves on occasion? Sure, but we enjoyed going back and forth with the banter. But I think I'm a great matchup for him. I think Diaz is a very good matchup for him, obviously. And Conor's a champion, so I'm interested to see them go again. But I got to lean towards my boy Diaz.
Luke, you got into a little heated argument yesterday with Mr. Weidman about dedication and how he doesn't seem as dedicated to fighting and winning as you. What's that all about?
I wouldn't say that. I think he's very dedicated to winning, but I think his limitations, you know, lie within that family. It deters from the training. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too into it anymore. It was one thing I brought up. Obviously, those things get dragged on sometimes. But I've catered my life so to reach my potential, and mm-hmm. and it takes so much. These training camps consume you, and it takes so much out of your day. Like every day I come home from training, all I want to do is recover, and it's like everything is based around that for 2 to 3 months. It's for every title fight, it takes so much out of you, and I can cut out my lifestyle, you know, outside the sport, you know, and I can get back to training. You can't cut out a family. You have to be somewhat selfish in this sport mm-hmm. to reach the best, you know, you can be. And you have to be completely selfless to be a good family man.
So, all right, so
it's a tough balance in the game. It's not like any other sport.
So speaking of how much work it takes, what do you? This is for both of you. What do you do between now and June 4th? You're probably both ready to fight already.
Yeah, I mean, I think
no,
what do you,
not, you're not. Definitely not. I wouldn't say anything on that.
I would assume.
I think what people don't understand about guys at the highest level, it is a lifestyle thing. So you don't necessarily take a complete break ever. It's something where you're constantly trying to improve. You're actually, your off season is the time to put in more hours and not worry about your body as much, etc. And then 8 weeks is to tighten everything up, make sure you're feeling great, work on specific things for opponents. So you know, at some level, of course, you're ready to fight it at all times. You know, we're fighters, but, you know, that 8-week period is a real focused time. And you know, it's 2 to 3 practices a day, resting when you need to, pushing yourself when you need to, listening to your coaches, working on all the different disciplines.
The fight game is we have to fight on a determined date, time, almost by the second. We don't have another inning. This is not a series. Anybody can have a bad day, you know, an off day. So we have to create consistency within our training camp. And so everything is perfect and consistent. So you limit your odds of having that off day on that given, you know, moment, that day. So it's everything has to be perfect. Everything
when
has
you talk
to be
about
consistent.
That sacrifice. When you're in that that 8-week window, which we are right now since the fight is June 4th at the Forum. So does this mean that every day that's what you're focused on and you won't go to a movie or you won't go out to dinner with a friend? I mean, do you just shut everything else except for training out of your life?
No, I wouldn't say to that extent. Obviously, there's lifestyle that keeps you happy. You need a release. You can't be in the gym beating yourself up mentally the whole time. But diet-wise and training-wise, you need that. And then, like, when you find time, you need that little release. You got to find it. So
yeah,
it's just a balance.
I feel like, you know, for me especially, and I'm a guy that juggles a lot of things. Sometimes I get flack for that. But the truth is, you can't just sit around and think about fighting all day. You know, we train extremely hard. We have dedicated practices. You're a weird dude if you're sitting around thinking about fighting all day and your life is not very balanced. And, like, what are you fighting for? Like, I know Luke, for example. I mean, we've known each other for a long time. You got to have fun. That's the reason why we're doing this. You know, when I talk to my guys, we're creating a lifestyle. One of my biggest motivations to be a fighter and do what I do is to create this lifestyle to do whatever I want. Hang out with who I want, spend my time how I want, have a good time. That's what this is all about, enjoying the process.
That's the voice of Uriah Faber here on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with Luke Rockhold, UFC middleweight champion. They're both going to be on the bill for UFC 199. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. By the way, everybody gets the pay-per-views, but you got to show locally. Go see it in person.
Yeah.
Kevin,
it's
you've been
like
to it in person.
It's like nothing you've ever seen.
It's really great. Yeah, it's totally electric.
And buy the pay-per-view, so you can watch it again when you get home.
There you go. Boom!
You got to blow it on both ends. Yeah.
Right after this on K-Rod. Talking UFC 199 happening Saturday, June 4th at the Forum. Tickets are going on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. Luke Rockhold is here along with Uriah Faber. Do you get a phone call that tells you which UFC you're going to be on, or do you let them know when you're ready to fight and then they schedule you in? Who tells who?
We have management that usually is kind of negotiating that kind of thing, so you can have a little bit of input. But for the most part, you know, we work for the UFC and they call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody
until you get the belt, and then you get a little leverage on the win you want to fight. You know, it's a balance. You got to kind of like negotiate and see what's what. And
do you negotiate who you fight as well, or just
we kind of like have a well, there's a couple guys you know to choose from, and, right. and we can see like what's going to make the best matchup, what the fans want to see, and we kind of combine forces and figure out what's our best option.
I feel like UFC is doing right what boxing did wrong, which is that once you become a champion in boxing, you just start fighting no names, and it's just a nonsense, and you hold on to your title forever. This, you actually have to defend your belt.
Yeah. Top guys.
I mean, do that right.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
How
difficult is it to take on the best guys in the world? Once you become the champ, is it more difficult?
That's the motivation. You know, the motivation is those challenges. For me, it's I want the biggest obstacles. I want the best challenges. I want to put myself to the test, and that's what being a champion is all about. And,
Luke does not have a problem with confidence.
No, you can't.
You can't in this game. I mean, we fight for a living. We're not playing. We're not playing ball sports.
It's a dangerous sport not to have confidence in.
Yeah.
But does that carry on to everything? Like if you go miniature golfing, are you like, I'm taking this. We're doing it.
Damn straight. Ping pong.
Excellent.
Ooh, don't mess with me on the ping pong table. It's on. But that's the mentality you have to have. If you lack confidence, you're gonna hesitate. There's gonna be a glitch, and you're gonna get hit first. I mean, confidence is technique, and it translates, and so it's. You train so much. I train with the best guys in the world. If you're not confident in where you're going and what you think is going to happen, you can't think it. You have to know it. That's the problem. That's why I think Weidman, I think he thinks, you know, he knows what's going to happen, whereas I know what I'm going to do when I walk in there.
You don't think he feels the same way that you feel about it? You don't think he thinks?
I think there's doubt. I think he questions himself.
especially after the last beating I put on him.
Yeah, it's hard. It has to be hard to put that out of your mind because it happened. You know, it's history. You're right. Even if he's 1% doubting himself because of what happened last time, that works to your huge advantage.
Yeah, it's not like I caught him. You know, anybody, right. I mean, guys can get caught in the sport and get clipped. I dominated Chris Weidman. I put it on him. I broke him. And I beat him in every aspect of the fight. So for him to come in here and really think that he can dominate me and throw me around, some of the things he's saying, it's motivating. Yeah. I love it. I like kind of testing him and seeing, you know, where he really lies, where his confidence lies.
You're right. How about Cruz?
Cruz, I mean, we have a long history together, and we're 1-1. But if you watch the last fight, it's funny. He kind of considers himself super hard to hit, and I would say, yeah, he's a hard guy to hit. But I didn't have any trouble hitting that dude. Caught him right in the chin multiple times. He didn't really hurt me in the fight. I thought I knew it was a close fight the last fight, but it could have gone either way. He was doing a little more wrestling to score some points, but more avoiding the fight in the later rounds. So,
do you guys hate that? Do you guys hate the point?
I do myself.
A lot of people fight for points, but not to win the fight, and that seems like that's a lot more boring.
You know, I would say I feel like Cruz has the potential to be a dangerous fighter, but you've never seen it from him because he is worried about the points here and there. I cannot fight like that. I just won't do it because I have a legacy. I do this because I love it. I do it because I want to prove myself. I don't do it necessarily to win on points. I'm in there to scrap and go for the kill.
If you win on points, are you disappointed?
Because I'm never disappointed.
Because you didn't end the fight?
I don't like to live with regrets. I'm disappointed if I don't get an opportunity to put everything out there. I've had fights. Like the first time I fought Mike Brown a long time ago, I got caught doing a jumping back elbow, and he caught me with overhand right, and they stopped the fight. That sucked. It was in the first round. I didn't get to exert myself. The second time we fought, I broke my hand in the first round in two different spots. I dislocated my thumb in the third round, but I got to fight elbows and knees and exert myself. So I lost the fight. It was a rough fight for me to be in, but I had a sense of relief because I got to put it all out there. And there's a difference.
That's what's freaky about you guys is you can fight. You can break a hand, break a foot. You're just like, yeah. Look, the fight's on. I got to go back out.
This is the real world for us. I mean, when you watch, I just watched Gladiator the other day. Like, you know, are you not entertained? And I can relate. It's so weird. I can relate. Winning the crowd and just having a different mentality.
Well, then you should fight a tiger.
Hey, bring it on. I'll have to negotiate that in the contract.
Let me ask both you guys, again, Luke Rockhold, Uriah Faber, in the studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show, talking about UFC 199. You have so much interaction now with your fans and with your detractors because of social media, and you're both very active in social media. How much attention do you pay to that?
You know what? Here's the truth.
Because everyone's got an opinion.
The more you learn about, you know, about the real world, you understand. I mean, it's almost like being in high school with zero consequences for somebody to say something. You know, it's really weird.
Right, you can be a dick and there's no payback.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Do you think somebody who's probably an internet tough guy is going to come up to Luke Rockhold and tell him that he's a pretty boy and he needs to go, you know, find something else to do or whatever without some sort of consequence? So I just think it's comical when you get haters on there, and I really appreciate the guys that are supportive, but you cannot pay any attention to that.
You don't even read it?
No, I mean, Luke, sometimes you? I will, but you don't pay any attention.
Yeah, you have to have just in one ear out the other. I mean, if you don't have thick skin in the sport, you won't survive.
Every once in a while, does somebody get through to you and make you mad?
You just laugh at them. I mean, a lot of people, if they're too off base, you just block them. It's just, I don't need to hear much of it. If some people have a point and they go out, you're like, oh, okay. Touche. You know? But some people are just not even worth it. They're just seeking attention, and so it's just like block.
Yeah, I think it is good to keep your eye on the pulse of what's going on because, I mean, there's self-awareness that needs to happen as an individual in anything you do. So sometimes it can help you keep a level head and stay real. But I have a lot of friends that have been friends of mine since I was a little kid and supportive people that I really care about. If you're not someone that I care about, I don't care about you. So opinion is whatever. And I love the fans. I mean, I feel like I have so much support and so much positivity coming. I mean, that's what I'd rather focus on.
Yeah. You see some of these people and some of the things they say, and then you go check them out, and you're like, oh, my God.
It's my favorite.
Come on. Yeah.
When you click on their avatar, and you're like, oh, I get it. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
Bingo.
All right. We're almost out of time here, guys. I don't know if this is something you're comfortable saying out loud, but I'm going to at least ask for predictions on each of your fights for UFC 199. Luke, let's start with you.
All right. It's gonna be a little similar to last time. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna control the fight. I really think I'm gonna put my left kick in his body. I'm gonna hurt him there. Then I'm gonna touch him up to the head.
Touch him up. I like
touch
that.
Him up. Touch him up a little bit. Cut some angles, and that's gonna be the end of the race. You know, I really see myself knocking him out.
How many
in
rounds?
Fashion. He's a tough guy. I'd say 2 rounds at most. He might be tough enough to get out of the first round, but I'm sure enough, I guarantee you won't make it out of the second.
You're right.
All right.
You know, I don't know, prediction-wise, I know you can't control the outcomes of things. I'm preparing like a madman, and I will be going for the kill. I will be looking to finish him. I can't say what round, but it's from my opinion, it's not going to go the distance. And I know he's notorious for going the distance, but I'm notorious for not going the distance.
There you go. UFC 199 is at the Forum June 4th. And tickets go on
sale. It's at the Forum.
I don't know why I said my voice was that high.
That was high.
They had me say the fabulous Forum. June 4th, get your tickets. They go on sale tomorrow night.
They go on sale
tomorrow afternoon, whatever.
Tomorrow at 10?
10 a.m.
That's right.
10
a.m. to Ticketmaster. That's right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Great to see you guys. Congratulations on everything up till this point, and we look forward to adding another chapter to your great careers coming up on June 4th at the Forum. And it sounds like some of us are going to be there, so we'll look forward. You'll hear us in the crowd rooting for you. All right, thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Thanks for the support, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:44.
And that means it's time for one final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Well, Saturday. At the infield at Santa Anita, it is another legendary K-Rock Craft Brew Fest.
Yay!
Hard to imagine a better afternoon. You play the ponies, you drink craft beers, and you hang out with some cool people. It's a pretty cool day. I see why the kids love it. Kids love drinking and gambling. That's the two things little children love the most. If you'd like to go, it's happening this Saturday at the infield at Santa Anita. The infield will open up at 11 a.m. Then the first race starts at noon. Hanging out there will be Striker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning.
That is classic.
Super Steve and Chip. So go. Go do that. And let me give you a little encouragement. How about a VIP pack of tickets and other cool bonuses that you can get right now if you're one of our lucky winners? The VIP package includes beer garden tickets and concert admission. 8 drink tickets, a racing program, a tip sheet, VIP backstage, and a VIP wagering area as well. And you get $106 that you can use to bet on the races. So you're already up.
Yeah, that's a good thing, too, because most people don't know that much about horse racing when they bet.
Right, but if you take $106 that we give you, and if you do it right, if you parlay it right, you can make $14 million.
Now, I heard a guy say that, but
yeah,
it didn't
sound...
Yeah, I did,
too. That's why I'm saying I heard that guy say it.
Didn't sound...
Why would
like
the guy say it if
that
it wasn't
guy might
true.
Have been lying.
Well, maybe you can make...
It's a known liar.
A couple bucks, anyway. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First 4 callers through at that phone number win the 4-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Craft Brew Fest.
Delightful.
Everybody heading over to Harry Potter today. Harry Potter's open. Harry Potter. Hey, look, it's Harry Potter. He's got a... Hey, Harry Potter's over there. Hey, look.
He's got a what?
He's got a wand.
He's got a wand
sticking out of his pants. Put that away, Harry Potter. Of course, the big theme park is now open at Hollywood Universal Studios. A long time waiting. Dave the King of Mexico went last night and said it was very impressive. So go soon. Don't go now because you can't get in because it's sold out. But go soon.
I wonder if they sort you into a house.
I bet that's a reference to something that happens in the books.
I bet it is.
Well, they say, yeah, you're sorted movies, into Gryffindor. Gryffindor
or sure.
I wonder if they do that for
Clagglebutt,
you.
Clagglebutt?
Not one.
Right?
Nope.
You go to Clagglebutt House
mm-hmm.
or Snickerfarb.
Slytherin?
Or
I wish there was a Snickerfarb.
Jigger Clock?
Nope.
That's the house I'd like to be in. Hey, don't wear scarves that burst into flames.
Don't?
That's a good tip. Now you tell me.
Little tip from me.
I feel like that's a good tip.
You could take that with you. Ivanka Trump, daughter of our soon-to-be president, Donald Trump. She had her scarves, her scarf line. She's got a popular scarf line. Has been recalled because they are too flammable and pose a burn risk to consumers.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
These scarves were sold from October of 2014 through January of 2016 in department stores and online, and they are extremely flammable, say sources.
That seems bad.
That's a bad thing to have, is your neck burst into flames.
He is on fire!
But if it's really cold out, you might welcome that. I think you might.
Even if it's cold.
Ooh, this scarf's keeping me toasty warm. Why is that? I'm on fire! By the way, the scarves were also made in China. Just a little something.
Along with everything else in the Trump family.
Just a little something for like trade relations with President Trump.
That's the type of thing that somebody should check out before they go to market is, hey, let's make sure these things don't spontaneously combust.
Yeah, give somebody a Bic lighter and give them one scarves and you do this. And then you don't sell those scarves.
Don't sell those.
Don't, I'm saying.
But you said if it's cold.
If you're really cold. Charlie Sheen may be in trouble. Folks from the Los Angeles Police Department are investigating the actor regarding an event that happened at his home. Several reports say that Sheen made threats against the life of his ex-fiancée, Scottine Ross.
People can't figure me out. They can't process me. I don't expect them to. You can't process me with a normal brain.
I don't know about that. Cops reportedly have an audio tape in which Charlie can allegedly be heard threatening to pay someone $20,000 to kill her.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Whoa, this escalated quickly.
On the tape, Charlie also allegedly admits that he lied to a sexual partner about his HIV status. No word yet from Charlie's camp regarding the charges, but it sounds like he's just bad.
It's bad. Balderdash.
It's not balderdash, sir. It's alleged, but it's not balderdash.
Like Dr. Drew when you need him.
And how about an island of affairs?
Go on.
There's a website called illicitencounters.com. Illicitencounters.com. And they're one of those married people cheating websites like Ashley Madison.
Right.
They've just purchased an island off of the coast of Britain where you can go to have your affair. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to find the right place.
You need a location.
It's hard to find the right place, you know, to go. So they're going to have an island, and you can go to the island and have an affair there.
And hope you don't run into your spouse.
Yeah, yes. It's hard enough to explain why you're home late from work when you're having an affair, let alone I have to go to an island off of Britain for a weekend, honey. This is not helping anyone have an affair, taking a trip to an island. Is Mr. Rourke waiting for you with tattoo on the other side?
The plane, boss! The plane!
Erections, everyone. If anyone remembers Fantasy Island, they're laughing their ass off
now.
Yeah, thanks. And finally, big excitement today. The teaser trailer for Rogue One, a Star Wars story, dropped. It first aired on Good Morning America this morning on ABC, and now it's available online. It looks awesome.
Sure does.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
And the reason I said this morning that I was glad that it was what it was and not another fanciful trip through Jedi world is because Jedi, yes, I got it. A lot of people were attacking me for this. I get that the Jedi is the cornerstone of the mythology surrounding Star Wars.
It's sort of important
in
that world.
But how many Jedis are there? Okay.
I don't have an answer to that.
And if it's about good versus evil, it's about fighting the Empire. You got to think that there are more people who don't have the Force than do.
Okay. Certainly. Yes.
So this film is about those people. What about all the rebels? What about all the rebels who were in those rebel bases, who were fighting the good fight, who were taking on the Death Star? They were contributing as well. They never get their due.
So you're saying
or their due, for that matter.
Too much attention paid on the generals, not enough on the soldiers.
Right. And this film looks like it celebrates those hardworking rebels who were just out there just kicking some stormtrooper ass.
It's more relatable to you.
It's not relatable. It's more relatable. But this is a story that really hasn't been told about. Those other people were treated like underlings. They're just faceless,
pilots in X-Wings getting blown out of the sky by Darth Vader. But now we get to experience their side of the story. I'm very excited about that.
All right, Bernie Sanders. All right, we got it. You love the little people. We understand.
What about the people who found the plants, which made it possible to put some torpedo in the exhaust port?
Oh, God. There we go.
Something like a good torpedo in the exhaust port. Right, Allie?
That's what you were saying earlier.
That's what you were saying earlier.
Yeah. What?
What?
Your wife's probably still asleep, right?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Francis Ford Coppola is 76 years old today. Actor Jackie Chan is 61. And Russell Crowe is 51. Now, we didn't play any of that audio from that trailer after that big buildup.
We did not.
Yeah, why don't we have time, right?
Yeah.
Let's play a little bit. This is the story of Jin Erso. Am I getting her name right? Jin Erso. Jin Erso is the name of the character of Felicity Jones plays. She's the hero of this story. Great trailer. Here it is.
State your name for the record.
Jin Erso.
Forgery of imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault. Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, looks so good.
Makes my pants go Rogue One.
What is the attraction of Star Wars? Who can say?
I can. Felicity Jones is hot.
Yeah,
she's a
sure
hot
is.
Little rebel.
Yeah, she's awesome.
That little overbite of hers? Oh, man. I got a thing for overbites.
Never heard much about an overbite.
I love me a good overbite.
It's not an underbite? Is it an overbite?
Well,
what does she have?
She
has an overbite.
Anymore.
Okay.
He just said over.
All right. I thought it was.
Why would you say under?
Because I thought earlier it was under. I was trying to, in my mind, imagine what it looked like.
There's pictures of her all over the internet. She was Stephen Hawking's wife in The Theory of Everything.
Oh, she's hot.
It's same
I like
woman.
Her very much.
What are you trying to imagine her then?
Woman.
No, because I didn't pay attention to the teeth. I didn't know. I wasn't clear on what the teeth situation was.
All right. He said
it's me pulling the ripcord once again. Man, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Man.
I hope my chute doesn't open. That's what I'm pulling the ripcord, but yet hoping my chute doesn't open.
All right. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, we got the movie beat. We also have Melissa McCarthy, the star of The Boss.
What?
How about that?
We have Paul Reubens.
What if she's paying the cost?
to be
the boss.
Nope.
You think?
No.
Asked and answered. Paul Reubens on the show tomorrow. Pia Toscano.
La, la, la.
On the show. And Jay Moore in studio. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Beach.